Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Sunday, November 19th, 2017. This is episode 1441. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/techguy. And by WordPress. Plans start at just $4 a month. Find out why 29% of the web runs on WordPress. Get 15% off your brand new website today at wordpress.com/techguy. Well, hey, how are you today? Good to see you. Leo Laporte here. I'm the Tech Guy. Yeah, this is the show. Well, some of you will be welcoming and others will be going, oh, no, what is this? All about technology? Oh, come on, man. Anything with a chip in it. Computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches. We cover the ever-changing world of technology and how it's affecting you and your work and your play and your loved ones. And that's the way we do it here. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number if you want to call in with a question, a comment, a suggestion. 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you could still reach us. You just call via Skype, and you'll get us. 8888 is toll-free. 888-827-5536. And I'm welcome questions, but I love when people have recommendations or something that worked for you or something you liked and all of that. Love that, too. Did you see Elon Musk has added again the wizard behind Tesla electric cars? It's so funny because whenever Elon has troubles, and occasionally they do, for instance, the last couple of months they've had trouble getting their newest version, the Model 3, out. He started making electric cars with the Roadster about 10 years ago? But he was very clear even then. He said, he actually released a manifesto in which he said, our goal here is to build expensive luxury electric cars that people pay a lot of money for, and that way we can bootstrap, subsidize a company building electric cars that are affordable and ultimately take us off the dependence on fossil fuels and change the world. I like that idea. Elon made a lot of money in his youth. He created an e-payment system that eventually merged with PayPal, and he is one of four or five PayPal founders who went on to do great things. You know, took the money he made from when they sold PayPal and invested it in a couple of things. One is SpaceX, which is Citizen Space. You've probably seen the rockets. He's got the rockets that launch satellites and service the International Space Station. And then, when they're done, the boosters come back to Earth and land so they can be reused. And, of course, he said, I'm going to land some people on Mars in the next 10 years. I think even sooner than that. He thinks it's going to happen fast. So he founded SpaceX, and then he also founded this Tesla company. After the Roadster, which was really just somebody else's car, a Lotus Elise with an electric motor in it, he then made the Model S, which has been quite successful. The Model X, I drive one. Disclaimer, I bought one and I like it a lot. Then the Model 3, which was the original plan, is to make this relatively economical $35,000 electric car with. And by the way, this is one of the things that makes Teslas unique: a lot of range. In the case of my Model X, I could get about 250-mile range per charge. And I charge it at home overnight. I have solar panels. It's kind of cool. Don't have to pay for gas. Haven't been to a gas station in years. Well, this week he announced two new vehicles. The Tesla truck. And already orders are coming in, even though they haven't announced the cost of the truck. But it has a range of 500 miles. It can charge in half, you know, much of it in half an hour using what they call a mega charger. I don't know where you'd find that. They don't have any yet, I guess. And already Loblaw and a number of UPS and a number of other companies that use trucks heavily have purchased them. These are big, like 18-wheelers, big old semis. But the funniest thing is at this announcement, Elon pulled a Steve Jobs. Remember Steve at the end of the Apple announcement? So I say, oh, there's one more thing. And he'd pull out the most interesting thing of all. Well, that's kind of what Elon Musk did after showing off these big trucks. He said, oh, one more thing. And one of the trucks opens up and out comes a new Roadster that'll be available in 2019. It's going to be a couple of years yet, maybe a year and a half. And wow, this is not a car for you and me. This is a $200,000 car. You could get in line to get one right now if you're willing to put down $50,000 deposit. And the Founders Editions cost $250,000. I guess they got extra special super duper stuff in them. It's for the, you know, it's for the multimillionaire tech set, I imagine. But here's the thing. You know, all of the Teslas have amazing acceleration. That's kind of one of the things that's typical of electric engines. It's kind of cool because electric engines, you know, they're relatively economical if you have a cheap source of power like solar panels. But they have supercar pickup. My SUV can do 0 to 60 in about 5.8 seconds. That's pretty fast for a crossover vehicle. This new Tesla Roadster can do 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. I don't know. You see, this is a. I don't know who would want this, but. it's bragging rights, right? And this is, I guess, more of the manifesto, the Tesla manifesto to create, you know, expensive luxury vehicles that sell at a premium so that they can then use that money and build economical vehicles. I kind of admire that. Crazy. Crazy fast. I can't, my car has, so you have different levels of acceleration. You have, you know, kind of, I don't know. I can't remember what the standard one is called. Then there's insane mode. And then there's ludicrous mode. And each costs more, a lot more. For ludicrous mode was, I think, additional $10,000 because they have to put in bigger motors and stuff. I don't know why I opted for insane mode. Probably did not need it. I never use it. And when I even just use the regular acceleration, you know, if I floor it in a straightaway, my head gets pinned to the seat and I start to brown out. I start feeling woozy. I don't know if it's psychological or real, but I don't do it anymore. I don't feel like I don't want to black out while I'm driving down the road. It's pretty impressive, these electric motors. And electric cars are starting to really take off. The new Nissan Leaf, the Chevy Bolt, B-O-L-T. You're seeing them everywhere, and you're seeing plug-ins everywhere, which is kind of cool. So if you got $50,000 lying around, you can put a deposit on that new Roadster. I'm not sure. I think the deposit on the semi, I might just buy a truck. That's probably cheaper, and the deposit's only, I think, $5,000. So would it kind of be cool to drive up in an electric truck? There's a company called Safegraph you might want to know about. Safegraph gathers information. In fact, they released, and maybe you saw this in your local paper, studies about how families are going to gather this Thanksgiving. And you probably saw this headline that politics is impacting Thanksgiving. That last year, families have voted for different parties, spent less time together on Thanksgiving. But, you know, the privacy experts, when they see headlines like that, they don't have the same reaction you do. They wonder, well, how do they know that? Turns out Safegraph is installed in many of the applications you use on your phone. They track where you go throughout your day. And they notice where you are and where your relatives are on Thanksgiving Day. Millions, apparently, of smartphones. You could, but you don't know if it's got SafeGraph because it could be a weather app or a wallpaper or games. And the app makers don't necessarily say anything except, we reserve the right to share your location with a third party. You might want to look at your privacy settings, unless you don't care. Maybe you don't care who knows who you're spending Thanksgiving with. 8888-ASK-LEO. Let's take some calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, kick it! The tech guy, 8888-ASK-LEO. I sincerely hope that you're not hungover at all this morning. That was quite
my headphones were way too loud for that. Somebody shot out of a cannon this morning.
It was quite quiet. Kim Schaffer's here. She's answering the phones.
I was not expecting
Michael
that.
Kozio waking us all up. What was that? I don't even know that
song. I liked it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, Michael's found something fun. That should be our new theme song. Yeah! So Kim comes in early. Boy, she comes
very,
in early.
Very, very early.
Early, yeah. Early, 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And she...
I got to see the sunrise. It was beautiful.
When she answers the phone and gets people ready because we couldn't do this show without lots of callers because otherwise it would just be me talking the whole time.
And we've heard that before.
Yeah, sometimes... Gosh, we were talking the other day about all-night radio shows.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about doing an all-night radio show is if nobody calls, well, then you just have to talk.
Yeah, and you have those callers that you rely on every single night.
Yeah.
And then when they disappear, you wonder, where did they go?
What did I do? Happened? Did I say something? Was it me? Yeah, I'm glad I don't do that. We get plenty of calls here because you know what? Everybody has trouble with computers and technology. This is a universal.
Including probably you.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I mean, and me too. But
when we first started doing tech TV back in the late 90s, one of the things I wanted to do differently, all the computer shows up to that point had edited out things like crashes and when things go wrong, and they fixed it.
I said,
hey, we're going to do these shows. Not only are we going to not edit them, we're going to do them live so that people will see that, you know, this
we're
is normal.
Yeah.
Well, I think it does a disservice when everything works flawlessly.
Right.
You think, well, what am I doing wrong? And it doesn't work for anybody. It doesn't work flawlessly. There's all sorts of problems. So I don't think there's any shame in admitting that computers drive me and technology drives me as crazy as everybody else.
Absolutely.
We're all in it together, kids.
I can agree.
So who's being driven crazy today?
Alice is being driven really crazy because when she FaceTimes with her daughter, within a few minutes, her daughter's face goes away. The screen turns different colors. And
that's not good.
Yeah. And it's happening on her iPad and her iPhone.
So oh, interesting.
Just one device.
Interesting.
So she's wondering if you have any ideas on why this is going
on. No idea. Thank you, Alice. Goodbye. No, I'll see. Let's talk. Thank you, Kim. Hi, Alice.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. So, Kim, did she accurately describe your FaceTiming with your daughter? And now, does the phone or does the iPad, does it feel hot?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so
I can do it first thing in the morning, and
you hold it. Is it in the case? Are they in cases?
My phone is in a case, and my iPad has the hard case cover.
Yeah.
So with the.
So the only reason I ask that is, I mean, I FaceTime a lot for long periods of time with my mom, particularly. And she likes it. She's 84. She lives on the other side of the country, so it's a great way to kind of visit. So I understand why you do it. I don't have this problem. I have other problems. So I'll tell you why I'm asking this is one reason that could happen is overheating. Does the iPad, if you exit out of FaceTime, behave normally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I go on to, Messenger on my iPad, I have no problem with it.
Okay. And using the video and everything?
Yeah. And I'll call her, and within a few minutes, it turns psychedelic green and blue and kinds of colors. And then I'll hang up and have her call me back.
Yeah.
And it'll work for a couple minutes, and then the same thing. I can hear her. She can hear me.
But the video goes bad.
But I can't.
And what is she on?
She's on her Kindle. She's got an iPad, I think.
iPad. It'd have to be an Apple device if you're FaceTiming.
Yeah, she doesn't have that problem.
So the picture that turns purple and stuff, you know, when you're using FaceTime on an iPad, there's a big picture, which is of your daughter, and there's a little picture of you. Does the whole screen turn funny, or just you, or just your daughter?
Just my daughter.
Okay, so you could see the little inset picture, and you look fine.
Yeah, I look fine. Okay. I just can't
see. So that explains why it's happening to you on both your iPad and your iPhone. It's not you that's doing it. It's your daughter. Okay, so she's, because the picture that you see of her is coming from her iPad. And so one way you could test this is by FaceTiming somebody else and see if it happens with them.
Yeah, I tried that.
And and are they okay?
And they were okay. I tried that with my son.
Yeah, so this makes more sense. I was a little worried. If it happens to two devices, that's worrisome, except that there's one thing in common, and that's your daughter. So it's her iPad. It's either her camera or her iPad is overheating. It isn't the normal way to fail for an iPad, and I've seen this. If the bandwidth, if you don't have enough internet bandwidth, it'll stop, it'll freeze, it'll say reconnecting. So it's not how an internet connection fails typically in FaceTime, but it does sound like a hardware issue with her camera. Maybe her iPad's getting hot. You should ask her, does it feel hot to the touch? Take it out of the case and see if it feels hot to the touch when this happens.
Yeah, I told her to listen to this because I thought maybe it's you. She goes, no, it's not me. And I said, I don't know.
I'm sorry, but it's her.
But the other thing
was, it's her. It's definitely her.
My TV did it the other day where when I was talking to her, my TV did it.
Wait a minute. You were talking to her on the TV or you were talking to her on...
I was talking to her on the iPad, but I had the TV on.
And then it did it?
And then the TV did it with all the outside of the TV. But it went away really quick.
Oh, it sounds like Stranger Things now. You don't live next to a big radio antenna or a power plant or something, do you?
No, I don't. But when I'm...
Wait a minute. When the TV does it, it's exactly the same around the TV?
No. I have the regular big screen TV. It just happens. It's like I can see the inside, the movie that I'm watching, but it's the outer TV, the outer.
The black part where it's where they've got the letterbox, the black frame, that goes, goes colors.
It goes green. It's like, okay, what's going on?
And is it the same time as it's happening on FaceTime?
It happened the same time on FaceTime.
Wow, now I'm thinking it sounds like some sort of strange interference.
I was thinking maybe it's something to do with our internet?
I don't know. Internet, if it starts to go bad, it'll just kind of not work. It won't turn a color.
It only did it once, though.
Yeah. I kind of want to throw that one out and really think that it's much more likely that it's, I mean, conceivably, you know, there's a big electromagnetic or radio frequency pulse happening in your vicinity. But, boy, that would be weird.
Lives in Arizona.
I think it's the camera on her device. And I think what she needs to do is try FaceTiming somebody else, see if it happens to them. And if it does, then bring it to the Apple store and tell them and demonstrate it to them. And I think that...
Yeah, I tried AT&T and they just said that...
No. It's an Apple thing.
Okay.
It's the iPad or whatever she's using. She's using some Apple device. So she should just test it by calling somebody else. And if they report the same thing, then she needs to bring it in. And frankly, what it sounds like is a defective camera. Could be happening because it's getting hot, but much more likely it's just a bad connection. And Apple will find that and fix it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That is weird. But I'm gonna throw out the extra data point that it's happening on the TV. Because then the only way that would be is if like there's some big...
First of all, what's the source to the TV?
Well,
there's no connection.
And she says it's green on the TV and purple on the iPad.
That she needs to do is have her daughter call other people.
Have her daughter call somebody else. And I bet you anything, the same thing will happen. Yeah, she'll get a purple screen, and then that will be her iPad camera. Look at Mr. Johnny Jet in all his splendor. Hello, JJ.
How you doing, Leo?
So I got Johnny Jet for the next break, Mr. Cosio.
Got it.
I am doing well. I am doing very well.
Good.
You're going to have Thanksgiving at home, I guess.
I am. I just got in. I've had a whirlwind of a trip.
I know.
And literally just got to the house 15 minutes ago.
Well, I'm thrilled that you made it. By the way, you don't ever have to worry about that. If you can't make it, that's not the end of the world.
I know, but I always like to.
Well, I like it too.
I like to show up.
We don't like to miss Johnny Jet.
Actually, I spoke yesterday in Chicago at Frequent Traveler University, and I had a number of readers or listeners of yours come up and say they listen to me every week.
Nice.
In Leo, and they love. Nice. And they love it. And so it's, you know, it's always very.
I think you have the best travel tips ever.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it went well, yeah. And then I just came in. I actually landed last night. We came home for just a few minutes, dropped our bags off, picked up new bags, and went and stayed at a hotel here in LA at SLS because we did this Uber Visa event, which hopefully I can give a quick plug to.
Yes.
But it was amazing what they did. I only caught the tail end of their whole trip, but they were staying at people's – they were going to celebrity homes. They had – celebrities hanging out, and but they have a new credit card, which has a tech component, which I'll talk about on the air if we can.
All right.
And I saw that your 49ers beat my Giants last week.
Your Giants, fortunately, suck. They're the only team, except with the possible exception of the Cleveland Browns, who are worse than the 49ers.
Man.
Yeah. I think it's good that we could win one game this season so we don't look like complete schmucks.
And after hearing the story about the wide receiver who lost his child, I was like,
oh, I know.
I'm so glad that you guys won. I mean,
can you believe that? And then he got a touchdown. It's unbelievable.
I mean, I read that. I watched the video, and I was bawling.
I know. I can't believe he played. It's like, what? Wow. That's dedication.
That's how some people get – that's how you get your
– yeah. You got to take your mind off it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing, as you know now, because you're a daddy, I can't imagine anything worse than losing a child.
I don't even want to think about it.
I don't want to even think about it. And you can't even watch shows anymore with children in jeopardy. Like your whole movie thing has changed now because I can't see that anymore. I don't want to see that. So.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It changes your perspective on the world.
And you know, and I was, you know, I've always diehard Giants fan, but when I heard that, I was like, I'm glad the Giants lost.
Wow.
I'm glad this guy scored that touchdown.
Wow. Yeah, just amazing.
And you said you're going to New York?
I'm going to be in New York next week to see Meteor Shower. We get to go to opening night and the post-night party. I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
I'm hoping to get movie stars to sing me happy birthday. That's
my gosh. So is there a show next week?
Yes, I'll be back. I'm leaving Wednesday, Tuesday night, and I'm coming back Friday night, so I won't miss anything.
Right.
Yeah. Here we go. He's been everywhere, baby. It's Johnny Jet time, our travel guru, brought to you by the amazing, ever-popular Epson EcoTank printers. Cartridge-free printing with years of ink in the box? Wow. Go to Epson.com/EcoTank to learn more. Epson exceed. Yeah, I start talking fast because of Johnny. Exceed your vision, Johnny Cash, that is. Johnny Jet, JohnnyJet.com. Good to see you, sir. You're back home. Where have you
I'm
been?
Back home.
Where have you been?
I've been the last 10 days, I've been in Hawaii. I've been in L.A., Nashville,
3 hours
Florida.
In Hawaii.
Yes.
A little longer in Florida.
And then yesterday, I was speaking in Chicago at FTU, Frequent Traveler University, and that went really well. I got on a plane with my family, and we landed in L.A., and then just dropped our bags off and then went to the SLS hotel where we were staying for just the night.
Wait a minute. You stayed at a hotel in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Dude, you live there.
I know. That's what I told my wife, but she's like, I always wanted to stay at the SLS, and we got invited to this really cool event by the new Uber Visa card. And so some of our friends were staying there, so we went, and we got wined and dined.
What
we went to Tao Restaurant.
What a life.
But this Uber Visa is actually pretty interesting because it's the only credit card that you can actually apply for in the app. So if you go in the Uber app and you can actually apply for this credit card just in the app while you're in a ride.
I need a credit card stat.
But, and you know, I always tell people, do not get a credit card if you can't pay off your credit card bills in full.
Yes,
but if
that's
you can,
that's when it's a good deal, right? Because you get points, or what do you get with the Uber Visa card?
Well, this one actually, it has no fee, no annual fee, which a lot of them do. And this one actually gives you 4% back on all food and dining, including Uber Eats, which is actually going to be one of my apps.
Okay.
And it gives you 3% back on air and hotel and 2% back on online purchases. And there's no foreign transaction fee. So it has, you know, especially
if
you work
for it. Oh, because a lot of cards have foreign transaction fees. And 4%'s a ton.
That's a good. Yeah. Mm. So this is actually shaking up the industry. And so that's why I went to this event. I hustled back. And so that actually brings me to one of my app, which is Uber Eats or Postmates. Because when I'm in a hotel and I don't feel like going out, or it's raining really hard, or I'm just tired, instead of calling up room service, which is usually overpriced and not very good.
Yes.
I either use Uber Eats or Postmates or DoorDash they have. And pretty much everywhere in the country, in the world, they have a service like this.
Yes.
So Uber Eats is actually available all around the world. I mean, from New Zealand to Thailand.
Because they're using like Uber drivers in between rides to deliver the food.
They're actually not all Uber. They are using Uber drivers, but I don't think they do both. I think they just almost a separate company.
Oh, you pick what you want. Okay.
I believe so, because every time I've used it, I ask the driver. They say they don't drive for Uber.
But I could be wrong.
And I used it a few times this week when I was in Chicago, and I also used Postmates. So I like to look at both these apps and find out what menus they have on there, because some of them don't
have
the
restaurants.
Same.
Yeah, different restaurants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's so convenient because they either come to your room, knock on the door, you can put that in.
Right.
I usually just meet them in the lobby or right in the driveway. And in Florida, especially we're in Florida, and I was like, I don't feel like – there was nothing really right next to us.
Right.
And one day it was raining, and we just ordered up, and we had really good food, and it's local food, which is great.
Yeah, because it's local restaurants. You know, here's a good tip on this. My mom's 84, and I've talked about her before. Love her. She lives way back. It's like your dad. She lives way back east, so I don't see her very often. But I like it that she can live in her house. She doesn't cook as much as she used to. It's too hard for her, and she's just – so I set her up on her iPhone. She doesn't have an iPhone. With originally it was Foodler, but then they got acquired. I can't remember who owns them now. But so I put my credit card in it, and I said, Mom, anytime you're hungry, you don't want to cook, just order from these guys. She does it at least a couple of times a week now. And I feel good as a son because I can't go cook for her. I wish I could. But this way I could kind of, you know, support her getting fed well. And she says, oh, and they bring so much food, I always have leftovers for the next day. She probably
That's good.
Like a bird. So this is kind of cool.
Well, I just love it as a travel component, again, because usually hotels are overpriced and the food's not good. Although last night we had room service at SLS. Jose Andreas.
Yeah. But a lot of times I stay at a hotel where they put a Pizza Hut menu in the room, and that's when I know I'm in trouble.
There's actually some scams, by the way. Like usually cheaper hotels, motels, if you get a menu underneath the door.
Yeah, all the time.
They say don't call those numbers because a lot of those are scams.
Like they'll take your credit card and never deliver anything?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? You're leaving town the next day.
So if you are going to, you know, if you do want a place like that, ask the front desk if it's legitimate, or go online and look and see what's around and then find and use that number.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. And I heard about it a couple of years ago and I just remembered it now.
That makes sense.
It's always in the back of my head.
You're kind of a sitting duck for those guys because you're not local.
No.
All right. So Uber Eats or Postmates
or DoorDash, whatever, any of those things, any of the deliveries.
I think mom's using DoorDash now is the one she's – I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, and actually, really sometimes cool. I cross-reference it with Yelp, although Yelp I don't always trust. But you can get a sense, you know, how many stars it is or what read the comments.
Yeah.
But it's like TripAdvisor. You don't want to always trust that stuff.
Oh, I love this idea. So that's your app?
That's my app.
Okay.
That's my app.
Yeah.
So now I have a website. It's called Upside.
Upside.
So Upside.
I'm down with that. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So this is for business travelers, actually.
Oh, I know about Upside. They've advertised on our shows, actually.
Oh, okay.
This is the guy who started Priceline. And
is it?
He sold Priceline, but he, and you know, probably just living high on the hog with all that money.
Big time. Big time.
And then he said, you know, I kind of like doing this travel stuff. Where can I, and this is where, I think this is where really great entrepreneurs are fascinating. They look for opportunities, little niches in the market that he can, that he could take over. And Upside is a business traveler's website.
Yes, it is. And if you just travel once in a while, great while, you don't have to be a frequent business traveler. But if you combine your flight with a hotel or a car, you can really save a lot of money. I mean, leisure travelers as well. But with Upside, which is unique, is that they'll give you money back on a gift card. So you can put it on an Amazon card or like Nike. They have a dozen different cards you can do it on. But just check it out once if you use it, and you can see the difference what you can make. You can make back, especially if you're working for a big company.
Yes.
This is a great way to make some extra cash because, you know, yeah, they're like, I'll book your travel. And right, they're saving you money because it's usually 5 or 10% less than if you booked it all separately. So always try and put like a package together, even when you're a leisure traveler again. But this will make you some money if you're a business traveler.
That's what they've kind of done. They've kind of pre-negotiated these deals. And usually it's air and hotel that you get the best deal on. We found out because we use it for our business. I own the business, so I don't, you know. But you can apply the gift card amount to the travel so you get even bigger discounts. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, right. I like this. Jay, I can't remember his last name, but he was the guy who founded Price.
Oh, yeah. Is it Jay Sorensen?
I can't remember. But anyway, yeah, I like this. And again, a little disclaimer, they used to be an advertiser on our podcast, so that's why I know a little bit about them.
They should be back.
They should be, because it's a good service. And I don't know people, they have a little money to spend. They get a little promotion. They're happy. They wander off.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they'll be back. They're usually always back.
Jay Walker is his name.
Jay Walker. Yes. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Priceline actually is from where I grew up in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Norwalk, Connecticut.
I just love this. This is one of the things I love about Silicon Valley. They just look for things like eyeglasses or mattresses where the ecosystem isn't consumer friendly. And they say, well, we can disrupt this. Look at Amazon. That's basically what Amazon's done.
And look at them.
And look at them now. Johnny Jett, look at him. He's at johnnyjett.com. Subscribe to his free travel newsletter. Get all sorts of deals. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter. He's got so much great information, and he joins us normally on Saturdays, but it's nice to have you on a Sunday. Welcome home, Johnny. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. When they came on the as an advertiser, I talked to Jay because he wanted to explain what they do, and I said, "Was it your idea to hire Shatner for Priceline?" And he said, "Yes, it was." Well, I said that was a good move.
Shatner must have made so much money because I think he took a percentage, didn't he?
Yeah, and it made him his career again because he had been kind of out of the public eye, right? And all of a sudden, the price slasher, and he's doing karate, and I think it did.
Yeah,
did kind of make him. He kind of made him relevant.
Very rich.
Relevant and rich again.
Very rich.
Yeah.
By the way, so you're spending Thanksgiving in New York?
No. Did I get that wrong? I'm here for Thanksgiving.
Or did I get that wrong?
No, it's not this week I'm going to New York.
I gotcha.
It's the following week for my birthday. So Thanksgiving, we're going to stay here. And actually, normally I cook, and I'm being lazy. We thought it'd be kind of good to support Sonoma County after the fires, because I know the tourism must be way off. So we're big going time. up to Sonoma Mission Inn, which is really nice. Well, Willie Birds we could support too. Willie Birds did an amazing thing. This is a big turkey farm. They were worried. Their fire came very close to the turkey farm. They have literally hundreds of thousands of turkeys, and they were worried because Thanksgiving, they didn't want to lose these turkeys. So they had like a day, and they just slaughtered them all.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to tell me a good story.
They put them in a truck and drove them to live another day. No, they just said, hey, well, Thanksgiving's just around the corner. Let's just have an early harvest, shall we say. That is kind of horrible.
I hope Jack's not listening upstairs.
That's a really horrible story now that I think of it. Never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Okay.
But it would have killed their business. I mean, they're going to kill them anyway. It's turkeys for Thanksgiving.
I know. I don't really like to think about it.
I know. I'm sorry. Are you? You're not a vegetarian.
No, I'm not.
But you still don't want
to hear stories like that, and I see that stuff. I remember walking down the streets of Hong Kong, and they would just break the chicken's neck right in front of you. You pick a chicken, and they say, click, and they just pull the feathers off, and I'm like, oh, my God.
John loves Willie Bird. He loves them, but now he's. I think he's probably not as enamored with them. No. They were going to be turkey.
It's an
amazing thing. I kind of set it up wrong. That was the problem. I didn't set it up well. Anyway, right, we're gonna go support Sonoma Mission Inn. We've been to their Thanksgiving before. It's very nice, and we thought, well, it'd be kind of nice to put some money into the ecosystem because I'm sure tourism is off. People come to Sonoma and Napa. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's still gorgeous. The wine country is still there. It did not burn down. As usual on TV news, you see. You think the whole place is gone. It's little spots, little parts of the area, but most of it's fine. No. Thank you, JJ.
All right. Take care.
Are you coming up here in the near future?
No, I have no plans. I'm actually going to, next week, I'm going to be in a far off land.
Oh.
But I.
Will you join us from that far off land?
No, I think I'll be back.
God, how does he do it?
I just go for a quick trip.
I look at people like you and Zach Honig. I think you live on airplanes. What? It sounds horrible.
Well, Zach's like 10 times more than
that. He literally lives on airplanes.
He's out of his mind. He was with me on that one United flight. He did like two round the world trips back to back. I mean, I did that within a month and a half. He did it within 2 weeks.
Ben, I follow his Instagram, like, and it's like he lives on an airplane.
Yeah, it makes me. I have no desire to do that.
No. You stay home, the baby, the wife. Yep. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll talk next week.
All right, take care.
See you. Bye bye. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK. Leo, back to the phones. Dean, rocking Thousand Oaks, California. Hi, Dean.
Hey, good morning, Leo.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a problem here. I'm trying to get rid of Norton because I'm trying to install Microsoft Security Essentials, and it won't load.
Yeah. Typically, you only want one antivirus. They'll war with each other. You're running Windows 7?
Yes.
Okay. So, because Microsoft with Windows, starting with Windows 8, and I think with 8.1 maybe, but Windows 10 for sure has Security Essentials built in. They call it Defender, but it has an antivirus built in. Yeah, Norton is hard to remove. All antiviruses are hard to remove because they don't want it to be too easy for malware to remove them, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So Norton, Symantec I can simplify this for you. Symantec offers a removal tool, which you should always use to remove Norton.
I've tried that. I tried going to their website, and I didn't have any luck.
You didn't. You ran the program, and it didn't do it?
Yes.
Okay, so there's one extra step that you might want to take, which is to boot into safe mode first. That'll keep Norton from loading, particularly those low level drivers and stuff. Uh-huh. So you boot into safe mode. You know how to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it depends on the version of Windows. I think with Windows 7, you hold the Shift key down during boot. You'll get a menu. Boot into safe mode with networking, and then you still got that Norton remove tool, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Then run the Norton remove tool. And because stuff is not running, it shouldn't have any trouble getting rid of it.
Okay. So all I got to do is go into safe mode then.
Yeah. Because, the chat room's telling me, Lawn Dog in the chat room says, you do have to have the right removal tool. So make sure it matches the, there's the Norton antivirus, but then there's the Norton total protection. There's all these different packages.
Right. So, yeah. I've gone to several websites and, I take a look at them, and they all they do is install their own program.
No, you don't want that. You go to Symantec. On. You got to get it from the manufacturer, support.norton.com. And the tool doesn't remove Norton utilities or Norton family. It's just for the other Norton stuff. And it's a removal and a reinstall tool. Just don't let it reinstall.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, after the reboot, it'll say, oh, let's reinstall now. No, I don't want you anymore. I have something better. And I think you're doing the right thing. I think, Norton's fine. McAfee's fine. All of these antiviruses are fine as far as they go. But there are a couple of issues. Because they're so low level, they can actually expose you to threats. There's a AV Gator. We just discovered a new threat that takes advantage of a number of antiviruses. I don't know if Norton is in the mix, but it takes advantage of a number of antiviruses, and uses their quarantine feature to actually take over your machine. Yeah. And this is the problem with antiviruses. They are so low level. They have such a tight connection to your operating system. They actually can be a gateway to bad stuff as much as a protector. The other problem I have with antiviruses is people often say, well, I'm safe now. And they don't moderate their behavior. And just remember, even with Security Essentials or Defender or any antivirus, none of them are 100%. And more than half of all the viruses you encounter will get around your antivirus. So it's really up to you to behave sensibly. You know, not install stuff you didn't specifically go out and get.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I had MSE before, and what I did was I reformatted my hard drive, and I put Google Chrome on as my browser.
Good.
And I was totally satisfied with MSE, but it didn't load this time. So
I'm sorry. Yeah, and a lot of the computers now come with Norton or McAfee as trialware, and it always bothers
me.
I install that right away.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Do the safe mode with networking. You should be able to remove it cleanly there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, Leo.
You're welcome. And be very careful. Another place you can get, it's not really malware, but adware or, I call anything that installs on your machine and creates behaviors you didn't want, you didn't ask for, malware. And a lot of times people get it from downloading, quote, free software on the internet, and the installers themselves install things like toolbars, engines and things like that. I think that's malware as much as anything else. It's internal vigilance is required, especially if you use Windows. You have to pay attention. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be cautious. You have to be a little cynical. I hate to say it, but when things pop up, and say, oh no, you got to do this. You got to think, is that coming to me from the operating system, from Microsoft, or from a third party? If they ask for money, they say call an 800 number. It's almost certainly a third party. And if you get pop-ups, and sometimes they're convincing, oh, your flash is out of date, download it. Best thing to do is to not click the link in those pop-ups, but go to the flash installer at Adobe's website and do that. Then you know you're getting it from Adobe. You don't know where you're getting it if you just click a link on a pop-up. These things are the most important thing you can do. Actually, the second most. The most important thing you do is just keeping everything up to date. If you every second Tuesday of the month, Microsoft updates Windows. Keep anything that goes online. Your browsers are now all automatically updated, but anything that works with your browsers, like Flash, Adobe Reader, anything that connects to the internet is potentially a vector for infection, a way a bad guy can get in your system. So you have to keep those up to date. That's the most important thing. And then the second most important thing is don't click links from, Messenger or in your email. Don't download stuff. Don't open attachments. You know, stuff you didn't specifically go out and get is risky. 8888, ask Leo. We're going to continue. Matt in Dallas. Hi, Matt. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, this is Mark.
Oh, Mark. Sorry, not Matt. Mark.
That's
you. It's you, Mark. It's you.
All right, let me give you some quick background first. When my wife and I got on cell phones many years ago, we both went on Verizon.
Okay.
When the iPhone came out, she desperately wanted it. So guess what?
Good.
She went to AT&T.
No.
But I stayed on Verizon because our kids were on it.
So she went to the AT&T store to buy her iPhone 10.
No. This was many, many, many years.
She changed carriers. Got it.
So, and the reason she changed to AT&T was because that was the only way she could get an iPhone.
So you got a mixed, a mixed marriage. You're Verizon. She's AT&T.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I thought, well, let's fix that. But I thought about it after I ordered her iPhone X.
Did you order it from AT&T or Verizon?
No, we ordered from Apple.
Okay, and Apple currently says, what's your carrier?
Yeah, I thought it would come unlocked, and then I listened to your show yesterday.
It might be unlocked. Depends. So which carrier did you specify?
I said AT&T. thinking that they'll just swap out the SIM card and it won't be a problem.
Yeah, it does work in the other direction. If you order from Verizon, you can get you can put an AT&T SIM in it. I don't think it's going to work that way, put the Verizon SIM in an AT&T. But it might.
Okay.
So
Verizon kind of hinted that it would. Just swap out these SIM cards and things are good. But I wonder, should I go to the Apple store when it arrives on Monday?
Yeah, you can exchange it. You have, did you buy it from an Apple? You did. You bought it from Apple, you told me. Yeah, you can exchange it. You have several, I think 2 weeks at least. And just say, yeah, no, I got the wrong one. And I think by now the supplies are sufficient. They should swap it out. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, hold on a sec. I had to take a break. The problem is there are different radios you need. And I think the AT&T phone, the Verizon phone will have the radios you need on AT&T, but vice versa doesn't work usually.
Oh, well, I have no clue. AT&T, I just thought it was a SIM card.
AT&T unlocks it. So don't open the box when it comes and just go, oh, crap, I clicked the wrong link. You want your wife's to be on AT&T or is she moving to Verizon?
No, she's moving to Verizon.
Yeah.
I got mad at AT&T 2 years ago when we signed the last contract.
Yeah. And, of course, now the iPhone's no longer an exclusive with AT&T, so you can go anywhere
right.
You want. Mine's on T-Mobile. So, it's Apple is, I hate to say it, a little unclear on this. For instance, if you buy the Apple upgrade option where you get a new phone every year, those are unlocked. But
right.
When you buy on the Apple store online, you have to choose one of the four major carriers. And if you chose AT&T and you want to take it to Verizon, my sense is, I don't know. My sense, the thing is, you don't want to take a chance to open it up, put the SIM in, and it's not going to work.
Right. So
I think there's a significant risk it won't. It's unclear. And I'll tell you why it's unclear. Is while it used to be T-Mobile and AT&T were a GSM carriers and Verizon and Sprint were CDMA carriers, and those really were incompatible, they all now use LTE and they use voice over LTE. And LTE is LTE. So what it won't have is the additional CDMA radios you'd like to have on Verizon. So it may impact voice calls in some situations, that kind of thing. The bigger issue is if Verizon's going to look and say, oh, this is SIM locked. AT&T won't let us work with it. Not because it physically can't work, but because AT&T put a lock on it. So rather than take a chance, before you unseal the box, just go to the Apple store and say, oh, I blew it. It needs to be Verizon. Perfect. And the good news is, I think, especially if you go early in the day, the iPhone X's been out long enough. The stock is now building up. I think you'll be able to swap it.
All right. That's the advice I need. Hey, I've been listening to you for a long time. I appreciate all your help.
You're my pleasure. Yeah, have a great day. And you're going to love the iPhone X. Oh, man, I love it. It is such a great
I get her old one, but my wife's going to love it.
You're getting a 6S? What are you getting from your wife?
6S. I had a 6, but it was only an 8 gig, and she has a 6S that's the biggest whatever
size
it is.
She's the phone geek in the family, isn't she?
Right, she is.
Well, I like the 6S. It's the last iPhone that still had a headphone jack.
Right.
So too bad. All right, have fun. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Oh, I like Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. They are fantastic. So Quicken Loans is the best lender in the country. Simply put, number one in customer satisfaction year after year, according to J.D. Power, for both mortgage origination and mortgage servicing. So they make it easy to get a mortgage. And they service it well, and then people love them, and they can call them, and they're technically savvy, and they're, it's a good company. And I like them even better because they've now made a mortgage approval system that is 21st century. See, when you're getting a home loan or you're doing a refi, you're kind of going back in time. You go to the bank, you have to meet a banker. He goes, last time I did this a couple of years ago, he had a clipboard with a sheaf of papers with all the, the interbank offering rates and all the different, and he had to look up let's see, here's a loan. What about this one? And then the weirdest thing, and this was 4 years ago. This isn't like 1920. He has a special mortgage loan calculator that you put in the amount and it tells you what the payments are. It does an amortization table. And I felt like have you heard of computers, my friend? Well, Quicken Loans has. They have transformed it. And by the way, when I went and got that big bank loan, the one from the, you know, the one with the stagecoach, it took them months to get us the loan. And they kept coming back to us for paperwork because we had to go get all kinds of paperwork. It was crazy. Now, contrast this with the next way I'm going to get my home loan. Next time I buy a house, I'm going to Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage lifts the burden of getting a home loan. It's entirely online. You just do it in your browser, on your phone, your tablet, your computer, whatever. Although the perfect scenario is you're at an open house. Maybe you're going to go to open house after the show this afternoon, and you say, oh, honey, we should buy this house. This is awesome. Yeah, but we, you know, should we make an offer? But we got to get a loan first, right? No problem, honey. You pull out your phone, go to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. You give them just a little bit of information, name, address, birth date, that kind of thing. And they then, because they have partnerships with all the financial institutions, pull the data they need, crunch the numbers, and based on your income, assets, and credit, tell you which loans are right for you. You choose the down payment, the term, the rate. It's completely transparent. And all of this happens not in months or days or weeks or even hours. It happens in minutes while you're at the open house. And then, okay, let's take that one. Okay, and you show the realtor we're approved. And I tell you what, that makes your offer 100 times better. Gives you a real leg up when you're buying a house. We're approved. There's a button. Print, download the approval letter. You print it out. You can bring it with you. I love it. Rocket Mortgage, created by Quicken Loans, just for us geeks. Go to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Rocket Mortgage is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. We thank Rocket Mortgage and Quicken Loans for their support of our podcast, making it possible, making the website free, all of that. Go to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. rocketmortgage.com/techguy. I think you will appreciate it. Yeah, so the AT&T does not have the version does not of the iPhone 10 does not have the CDMA radios in it. That doesn't mean it won't work because Verizon's using LTE for voice. But it may just, you may put a Verizon SIM in because Verizon uses SIMs now, or you may try to activate it and it will say, well, I can't because I'm an AT&T phone. So I don't, you know, it's the technical limitations are different from the logistics of it. AT&T uses different bands, 2, 4, 5, 12, and 17. Verizon uses 2, 4, 13. That, again, it may work. It may not work optimally. Or it may not work at all. Verizon is not allowed to lock its SIM slot. So that's why if you buy the Verizon phone, that's kind of the ultimate phone. Because it has it has CDMA radios, it has LTE, and it has an unlocked LTE SIM slot. So you can swap it. Now remember, the other thing that's changed is that the iPhone, while it does have a SIM slot, is now also has the eSIM. So I didn't put a new SIM in here. I just activated on the T-Mobile network because it's got an electronic SIM. So it's very confusing, and I don't know if Apple's as clear as they.
Didn't T-Mobile's phones, when you got T-Mobile, didn't you get an unlocked phone?
You know what I should do? We're all on T-Mobile. I need to find somebody with a Verizon phone. Maybe I'll ask Carson's on Verizon. I can swap the SIM and see. Thing is, it might work. Yeah, I don't know. It used to be that T-Mobile was kind of unlocked, but now lately they've been carrier locked. So,
well, I haven't changed. Right.
I know. I don't know what the answer is. The iPhone 10 doesn't have the latest 600 meg. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, so all of those gigahertz, the new gigahertz LTE, Apple doesn't do it. Apple doesn't buy the Qualcomm gigahertz chip. They hate Qualcomm. They're fighting. And so you have to get Galaxy would do it. So if you're in a locality where you can get this new gigahertz from AT&T or T-Mobile, they're both starting to offer it, you absolutely will want to get a Samsung phone. I don't even think the Pixel does it. Ah, interesting. I get the excellent battery life on my iPhone 10. Sprint can't activate an AT&T. So complicated, isn't it? It's different than newer phones. And ultimately, I think it'll go away because Apple would like to make one model. Yeah, face unlock is not perfect. It's really not perfect. Phones bought from AT&T are locked to AT&T, but if you buy an AT&T phone from Apple, what do you get? Because Apple does now make you choose carriers, which annoys me. I wish they would sell just an unlocked. Oh, interesting. Okay. With an unlocked Android phone, the firmware is still Verizon. Once you leave Verizon, you don't get updates. Oh, and SMS doesn't work. Man, I prefer unlocked if I can get it, for sure. My Pixel 2 XL is unlocked. So there's two issues. There's the issue of capabilities, you know, what hardware capabilities, and there's the issue of if the carrier has SIM locked it, carrier locked it. Both of those can get in your way. It's not clear to me. I don't know if anybody knows exactly how it works. I guess somebody should be smart for somebody clever, a clever person, to get all four phones. There's $4,600 you'll never see again. Plus tax, and swap around the SIMs and see what happens. Yeah, that's having to do with CDMA and GSM on the iPhone 7 comp 101. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, hour two of the Tech Eye Show. We talk about technology, as confusing as it can be. Computers, the internet, home theater, smartphones, smart watches. Somebody asked me, what's the phone that you carry now? They call it a daily driver, the one you use every day. And it's hard for me to just carry one phone. If I had to choose, if I said, well, you can only have one phone, it would almost certainly be the new iPhone X. It's a jewel, really beautifully designed. But there are limitations. Face ID doesn't work 100% of the time. I find myself at least once or twice a day entering in my code, my PIN code. That's not the end of the world, but it's a shame because Touch ID did work 100% of the time. I found it to be very reliable. But the screen, it's the best screen out there. It's gorgeous. The size seems to be just right. It's a big screen, but because there's no frame around it, it's a small phone if it's in the hand. And the materials feel great. The stainless, I got the white back one. So that has a stainless steel edge all around it. And it just feels wonderful. It's a beautiful phone. Perfect. This is where Apple really excels in design and manufacture. They know how to do it right. But iOS is sometimes very limiting, so I do love Android. I love what I can do with Android. So since I don't have to just take one phone, on my second phone, and I do have a iPhone or a Galaxy Note 8, which is very very impressive, very very much like it. But I kind of prefer to go with Google's phones, mostly because not because of design; they're not gorgeous. The screen, while not as bad as everybody made it out to be, is still not, you know, as good as a Galaxy Note 8. But it's more, I feel like it's going to be more secure because it's going to get the updates. I'll give you an example. You know, Google, just like Microsoft now, Google does monthly Android updates that patch security flaws. They're important. You should, you know, get them. And what you want is you want to get them as soon as they're available. But only the Google Pixel phones get them right away. So I have the November 5th. The most recent security update on my Google phone, my Pixel 2 XL. But my Samsung Note 8 is back in August. That's three updates behind, and in my opinion, that's three too many. So while the Note 8 is perhaps a more beautiful phone, I like the security and the pure Android phones that Google makes. And the Pixel 2 XL is a very nice phone. And by the way, the fingerprint reader works every single time, quickly and reliably. You know, even in the dark, even in the cold, even, you know. And so, to me, that is maybe a plus over the iPhone 10. Nevertheless, it's hard not to love the iPhone 10. What a beautiful device. And of course, the question now is Apple, this is the new platform, I think. It's pretty clear. It's so different from the iPhone 8, which just came out a few months ago with a Touch ID and, you know, the fingerprint and the home button and different screen size and all of that, that, you know, it's almost a different beast, like a different, it came from a different company almost. But I think this is the future going forward for Apple. I presume it is. Apple doesn't say. And now I wonder, it's making the iPads look a little outdated because they still have the home button, the Touch ID, the big bezels. And so I wonder if next year we might see updated iPads that look more like the iPhone 10. I sure would like that. I think that'd be something. That'd be something pretty sweet. You never know with Apple. You know, there's a lot of things I wish Apple would do, including make better laptops, but they don't. Oh, and somebody's pointing out, and I agree with you, Apple Numex in the chat room, that the camera on the Google phone is the best. It's even better than the Note 8. It is certainly better than the iPhone 10. It is a fantastic camera. What Google is doing computationally with a single lens is mind-boggling, especially in video stabilization and areas like that. Just really beautiful camera. Amazing camera for a phone. Bill's on the line. He's next from Santa Clarita, California. Thanks for hanging on, Bill. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bill? Oh, poor Bill. I kept him on hold for so long, he probably fell asleep. Bill, are you there? Well, let me put Bill on hold and go to Bruce in Hesperia, and we'll wake Bill up. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing today?
I am very well. Thanks for hanging on. What can I do for you?
Well, my daughter and I were talking this morning about something she'd like to get for her D&D group. They want to stream the video and the audio, but they're looking
for a microphone. She plays Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah,
that's awesome. How old is she?
She's 24.
Oh, she's still playing. Did she play as a kid?
She just got into it about 6 months ago. They have a group of her friends that are doing it now, and they want to stream it.
I think it's become more and more the fashion. We have a group of people in the here at our business that get together once a week and play. And they're in their 20s as well. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, so, I tried it once when I was younger, and I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, you have a dungeon master who sets the scene, and then each player will roll a die and get some moves, and you'll interact, and the dungeon master.
And all
yeah,
that.
It's fun, I guess. You're right. I kind of never got into it either. So she wants to stream it, and does she say where she wants to stream it? Because there are a couple of different ways to do this.
No, not yet. Right now they're looking for the gear. They want to get a microphone that's omnidirectional.
Got it.
And we looked at a blue Yeti snow.
The Yeti's good. They have a snowball as well. Those are different microphones from Blue. There are many omnidirectional microphones. Here's what I would. It depends how much money they want to spend on this.
Their price line is in the $40 to $60 range.
Yeah, that's not a Yeti. That's going to be the snowball, maybe.
Yeah, the snowball's in that range, but I'm not sure if it's Omni. It looks like it has some limitations in that respect.
Yeah, that's such an inexpensive mic. It's going to be a challenge. And they have a camera already?
No, they don't. But I asked them if they wanted to get a webcam with a mic, but what their concern was that they get a little rowdy, and they say if they're speaking from a distance, it sounds like a whisper.
Yeah. It's very challenging because you got a large group spread out, one microphone. That's going to be difficult, especially in that price range. And they're going to stream it. Did they say where? Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, live stream? Where did they say where they're going to stream it?
They haven't figured that out yet. It's probably
Here's what I'm going to recommend, and they're going to need to all chip in to do this. But it's one thing that does it all, and it's a Facebook camera. So it's for Facebook Live, which I think would be a great place for them to do this, by the way. And it's called the Mevo, M-E-V-O, and it's a microphone and a camera, and it has some very interesting features. It's get Mevo, M-E-V-O.com. Now, they're going to, it's more than their budget. It's $400 bucks, but
ooh.
Yeah, but there's nothing they can get in there. But they're still going to have to get a camera. They're still going to have to figure out how to connect it to the internet. It's going to end up costing them that much. The Mevo live streams to Facebook automatically or live stream. So it's you press one button. It has an interesting feature. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can use the Mevo microphone is an array mic, so it will sound. It will pick up. It's designed for that kind of environment. And the camera doesn't move. It sits in one place, but you can use an iPad to change the picture. It's a 4K camera that streams 1080p. That means it has, in effect, the ability to zoom and move around. You can have it follow one person. You can actually, in effect, switch it as if you have multiple cameras. So this is what they should get. If they can't get everybody together and get, you know, $20 out of everybody to do it, then I think you're probably right. The Snowball is the best bet. And the Snowball does allow you to set a more omnidirectional pattern. It's going to, if you put it in the middle of the table, it'll be fine.
Okay.
It's not a bad choice. But you still haven't solved the camera problem. You haven't figured out how you're going to live stream it. All you've got is a microphone. It's going to be simpler for them. I love the Mevo Cam. Get Mevo. GETMEVO.com. It'd be worth the look anyway. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, this is challenging because, you know, okay, so they get the Snowball. Then what's it hooked into?
Some type of a laptop. Sure.
Yeah, and now they're going to get a camera, and they got to figure out how to hook that into the laptop. And then the laptop's got to be hooked to the internet, and it's got to stream. I mean, you can do it.
Yeah, she has an Asus laptop that has a camera built into it, so she might want to do that and then just kind of put that mic in the middle of the table.
Oh, well, there's a $100 Black Friday sale on the Mevo camera, so now it's $300 instead of $400.
Okay.
So the advantage of doing this is it's going to be a much more polished production. They may not care, because a laptop camera, where's it going to be pointing?
That's the problem. I told her to get a Logitech camera and you put it on a stand and
right.
point it from a distance.
Right. And that's now you just add $120 to it.
Yep.
So because you got to get a camera, you got to get a mic, you got to figure out how you're going to hook those up to a laptop and then how you're going to stream it. If you have a good laptop, you can stream it. You know, you can go to YouTube Live and stream it. It's easy. So, or Twitch.
Okay.
But the issue, of course, is that you're going to want to put the camera somewhere where it can see the whole thing, and it's going to be fixed. It's just going to have that one shot,
right?
And then the microphone will be in the middle. I guess you could do that.
I know there's 360 cameras out there too, but I'm sure there are a lot.
I wouldn't do 360. I the Mevo. So what happens with the Mevo is you get your iPad and you have the shot, and you can say, "Oh, it's like you have four cameras." With one camera, and it's got a Ray mic that picks up the room very, very clearly. It's designed for live streaming to Facebook is what it's designed for.
Okay. Well, maybe their friends can chip in on it.
Yeah, how many people are playing? You know, if they've got 10 people playing, that's $30.
I think there's 5 or 6, but I think what they were looking at doing was buying it as a gift for the...
That's cute. Yeah. Well, yeah, then just get the Snowball. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanting some kind of low cost for that reason.
And then you're right. Your laptop camera, what are you going to... I mean, I don't know how you're going to... Well, that's all right. It's a gift. That doesn't matter then.
Yeah, that's a different issue.
They're going to figure that out. Yeah, any of the blue mics are fine.
Yeah.
They're very good.
And because it said on there you have to speak directly into it, and then it also said there's issues if you're more than 2 to 3 feet away from it.
Well, but that's any mic that's true of. Any mic in that price range for sure.
Right.
You can get an Array mic. That's what's on the Mevo that's designed for picking up the room. It's the kind of thing that's on the Amazon Echo. But even then, they sound boomy. They sound like you're in a room. They don't sound, you know, everybody has a mic when we do our stuff. You can't do one mic to five people, four people.
Right.
It's just going to sound, you're going to be noisy.
And you guys probably have the Heil mics, right?
Yeah. We love our little Heil mics. I wouldn't recommend that for her, though.
No.
Yeah, get the Snowball. There's nothing at that price point. There's nothing that's going to work better that I know of. Maybe I will look around and see. $40 is not much for a mic, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I could talk about the Mic Me, MIKME. The Mic Me might work. It'd be awesome, but that's what $400, right? How much is the Mic Me? $600. So yeah.
Oh. Yeah,
that's a iPhone mic. It's kind of cool, and then you use the iPhone for the camera. And that can stream live as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So they could use one of their phones for
A phone would work, and that at least you can move around. Frankly, well, since they want to give a gift, I understand that you need to buy something. But frankly, the phone is probably all you need, and you just have – you put it on a – here's what you give them. You give them a Joby GorillaPod stand. You put the phone on it. Use the phone microphone. You stream live from the phone. That's actually – the phone microphone is going to be probably better than the Blue.
Really?
Yeah, for that kind of application, yeah.
Wow, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah. Then you've given them nothing.
Hey, well, give them the stand.
Yeah, there you go. Joby. They make a great stand for phones. Joby. All right. Take care.
All right. Bruce. You too.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, our photo guy, Chris Markwart, coming up. You know, I wasn't really thinking clearly with our last caller because I was thinking of external devices. But probably the best way to do live streaming, especially of a group activity, is with your smartphone. You've got actually a fairly decent mic on there. You can buy mics that are designed to work on smartphones, but I would try it first with a smartphone mic and the camera, of course, on the smartphone. And what you really need is just a tripod, something that will hold the smartphone up, and maybe you can move it around from time to time. That give you a little more flexibility. So I think probably something suitable would be a tripod for the smartphone, something to hold the smartphone up. I use, and I mentioned this to him off the air, I use something from a company called Joby, J-O-B-Y. They're very famous. They made for years, they've been doing 10 years now, the GorillaPods, which are kind of funny little curvy leg devices. And they make one of the GorillaPods. This would actually be a great gift. One of the GorillaPods has the GripTight One has a little kind of, it's hard to describe, like a vise that's designed to hold a smartphone on the tripod. And the tripod is simple. There's one that has magnetic feet, so it'll stick to anything, and you can bend it around. And so you could just, that could be in the middle of the D&D game, and that'd be a really great solution, I think. That might be the right thing to do. That's a good gift, and you can use it in a lot of different ways. We'll talk to our photo guy, Chris Markwart, in a little bit. He might have a solution. Meanwhile, let's see if we can wake Bill up from Santa Clarita. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Leo. How are you today?
I am great. How are you? Welcome.
Very well. Sunny California. Can't be better.
Oh, I'm jealous.
No, I don't mean to make you that way.
It's getting chilly up here in Northern California. Winter is coming, as they say in Game of Thrones.
Well, it did get down to 55 here last.
Oh, shut up. What can I do for you?
Okay, my wife and I are going to be full-time RVers. We have a luxury RV. And we enjoy watching Netflix. I have a satellite dish mounted to the roof, so normal television won't be a problem unless we can cut that bill.
Do you have to aim it when you get where you're going? Is that kind of how it works?
No, you push a button and it finds it, searches.
Oh, that's nice. Satellite. Oh, that's convenient. Yeah. All right.
Very, very.
Yeah, yeah.
It opens up and closes when you're traveling. You close it down, and then when you get where you want, you push the button. And
perfect.
It opens up and
perfect.
Searches.
Perfect.
The reason I'm calling, though, is a cell phone service. There's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Now, Wi-Fi, you can get a Wi-Fi booster, which means that if you're in a park that offers Wi-Fi service, it will capture that service and boost it for you. So it can take marginal or average signal and give you a better signal.
Yeah.
According to their literature.
Okay.
Those are relatively inexpensive. They're only $150.
And they work just as well as they cost. In other words, not very well. Okay, continue on.
Okay, the next thing was a cell booster. Now, they're a little more expensive. They're between $400 and $500.
You may not need a cell booster. How does it, have you already tried your cell phone as you drive around?
No. Like I say, we're starting, and I may wait on that then.
But yeah, I think probably your own phone. And by the way, LTE in most areas, I mean, of course, it depends very much on where you're going, who your carrier is. But in most areas, LTE is very fast, and you can pay extra for your phone to be able to use it as a Wi-Fi hotspot. So you turn on hot spotting or tethering. Hot spotting doesn't have a wire. It just becomes a Wi-Fi access point. And you use that, and you've got Wi-Fi. I wouldn't want to, you know, you should inquire with whoever you use as a carrier about bandwidth caps and things like that. But in general, LTE now is so fast around the country that it's almost certainly better than the Wi-Fi you're going to get at the campgrounds. They generally aren't very good. They have a lot of people using a small amount of bandwidth.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
The way they advertise it, though, they say you can drive her down the road and you'll pick up from Starbucks or you'll pick up from
Walmart. So the problem with boosters is it's a one-way thing. All it is a better receiver. And it's not a good idea. It doesn't do a very good job. It doesn't help a whole lot. It might help only because it's getting the antenna outside of the RV. The metal right. of the RV does make a little bit of an issue. So if you get one that has that is magnetic or clamps on or attaches to the outside, and then has a wire going into the inside, because that
these are all mounted on the outside.
Yeah. That would help in the sense that, you know, the metal of the RV acts as a kind of a shield.
Right.
And so it's not, you know, that can be a problem. I'm not an expert on these, but I'm sure somebody in the chat room has some experience on these. But generally, Wi-Fi boosters, my experience has been, are not really worth the money.
Now, the next question would be on a cell phone booster.
Again, you probably don't need that. There are, but you can get it if you get one. Truckers sometimes use these. They usually have a magnetic clamp. You can put the antenna on the outside and run a wire in. There are companies that make those. I don't think you're going to need it personally. There's enough transparency. The windshield, the windows, that you probably are going to get a pretty good signal inside the RV.
Okay. Well, what they brag on is that your phone has 1 dB, and these have 50 dB of capability. So that's what they brag on is the maximum gain.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going somewhere where cell phone connectivity is very poor, that would help. Might give you a bar or two better. I think these are all oversold, overhyped.
You think? Excellent. I like that.
Don't buy anything till you have a problem, till you're out there and you see a problem in it.
Okay. Last thing is, there's an opportunity to get a free Verizon jetpack and 25 gigs for $50 a month.
That's what you want. So you could use your phone, but it's kind of nice to have the jetpack. Then that doesn't deplete the phone. You could take the phone still works. And then you're going to be using, I think, very really excellent LTE. In almost every part of the country now, LTE is very fast.
Okay. Well, you've answered my questions. You're talking to my wife. She said, wait until if we need it.
Yes, she's right. I'm your type. Whenever I've got a new project, it's like, oh, I got to get all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then half of it doesn't get used. I love to get all the stuff. That's part of the fun of planning this. Where are you going to be driving?
Well, like I say, we're in Southern California, but we're going to move to we're moving our domicile to Texas.
Okay.
And then we're just going to roam the United States. And my wife's dream is to get to New England area.
Fun.
Nova Scotia and Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah, there are places in more rural areas where you may find cell connectivity is not great. But if that's the case, a booster isn't going to help either in most cases. You're going to get zero bars. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Chris Marquardt, the photo guy, coming up. Have great travels, Bill. That sounds wonderful. I'm kind of jealous. I always had that dream of a mobile studio driving around in an Airstream doing the show from all over the country. Maybe someday. See, I think this holds great. I've used these in all sorts of situations. For instance, when we were on the riverboat, because of the magnets on the feet, which are really great, I was able to just put this tripod outside our cabin, just magnetically attached to the side of the boat. and shoot a video, a time-lapse video of us going down the river. It was awesome. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Leo, check your mail. We have an assignment review coming up.
Oh, my gosh. Me and my never doing the darn.
Other than that, I'm 100% with you. Let them use the phone for the D&D streaming.
I think that would work. I don't know why. I didn't say that right up front.
It's you and I, we're nerds, you know?
We
want the polished production and
sometimes
everything.
Sometimes I listen to people too much, and he said, what's a good microphone? And I went down that road.
I even recommend that for people who want to get a leg into podcasting. This is what I recommend. Get one of these little foam microphone foam thingies and put them Windschutz, exactly, and then put them over the phone like this.
Oh.
And then that's all you do. This is a perfect interview microphone. It sounds
good for
a podcast.
Nowadays, many of these phones have Array mics in them. They're actually better probably than anything you're going to buy standalone.
So. Yeah, and with a little foam protection, that's probably $1 or $2.
Yeah.
You can effectively cut out breathing noises and that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
So and the microphones are really good these days. I mean, the stuff they put in the smartphones now, they rival the lavalier mics you have.
I agree.
In broadcasting.
Yeah. They're really too good for the phone. I don't think it's for phone calls. I think it's for video. I think they realize that a lot of people use phones for video.
Well, the Array mics, I know they have several microphones, and I believe they do some form
they
of
do
beamforming.
Noise canceling and beamforming, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how they handle multiple speakers, but I think there is some research into that at least.
Oh yeah, and a lot of phones have multiple mics now because of noise canceling purposes.
Yeah.
I love the magnetic thing though. I mean that makes it so stable, you know. You can put it on anything.
But attaching that to the outside of a ship, I would be so worried of the phone getting lost. I've seen on one of the photo tours, I've seen a phone slip out of someone's hand in between a ship and the pier. And off it went. We saw the light sinking down, and the light was on for a couple more minutes, and then it went off, and no one was there to save it.
Oh, that's sad. I wonder if I could stream this.
I'm on ships. I developed this the vice grip around the phone just to make sure it doesn't slip out of my hand.
I live dangerously. I admit it. Let me see.
Well, but you probably also have at least four phones with you.
Well, it was an iPhone 8. I knew it was getting replaced. And, you know, as soon as I got back, there'll be something else. God, it's terrible. It's terrible. I don't ever want to look at the accounting on how much I've spent. So let me put this. Let's see. We're going to say here. Chris Smart. Let's see. Oh. Live stream of Chris Marquardt's.
Are you live streaming me to Facebook
I'm
now?
I'm going
to
play with this. We'll just try it. Here he is, Chris Marquardt, the photo guy. You're going to hate this, Chris. I was thinking I should just demonstrate the technology that I was talking about with our friend who wanted to do, you know, his daughter wanted to do her Dungeons & Dragons game and stream it live. I was going to stream it on Facebook Live. And I have the phone, as I should, in horizontal, in landscape mode. And Facebook says, no, you have to turn it the other way.
Yeah, who does that? Who does that? Who doesn't do vertical video these days?
It's mandatory.
I know, it feels completely wrong.
Holy cow. Even Facebook is trying to enforce that. So this is kind of a weird stream because it's hyper close up for me. I have it glued to my microphone. But I just wanted to demonstrate that the microphone works. So it's on my Facebook page if people want to.
Yeah, and I'm completely with you in that. The Dungeons & Dragons streaming thing, let them use the phone. The phone is probably going to do the job. If they want to go more polished, if that is really the thing they want to do and they find that out when trying, then they can still invest in microphones and things. But in the beginning, hey, I tell people if they want to start a podcast, use your phone, use a bit of a a microphone foam thing that you can then put on the phone, on the end of the phone where the microphone is, and talk into that.
That
keeps the breathing noises out, the pops out, and everything. And the microphones in the phones are plenty good. I'm not sure how well they handle several people, like four or five people around a table, but I think that's a situation that. But oh, by the way, if you do that, if you record microphone on the table, it's best to lay the phone flat on the table. Now that won't be helpful with a microphone, but that makes the sound a bit better if it lies flat on the back.
So I'm going to put my phone here. Let me see. I'm using the iPhone 10 for
this. You've heard of this, of this. I think it's like a proximity effect kind of thing.
That makes sense.
Makes it sound better.
Yeah, closer is better. Now, actually, I'm using this Joby GorillaPod thing, and this actually works pretty well, too. So.
For small cameras and smartphones.
And
it doesn't take a lot of space. You can have it with you.
Yeah, I keep it in my briefcase. So it's assignment review time.
Yes,
Chris,
it is.
Every month gives us a word or an idea that he wants us to illustrate, and then people go out and they take pictures, and we've got some lovely photos from our viewers today. You want to tell us about them?
Well, the assignment was short, and I apologize. It's a bit more than 1 month just because I've been gone for too long. So we'll look at three pictures now that have been submitted by the wonderful listeners. And the first one is by Bianca Luna, and the title is Short Circuit. Again, short was the word to illustrate. And Short Circuit is the first one. What we see is a car, a silhouette of a car, a person standing on the car, and apparently from their fingertip, a lightning bolt is going down.
It's actually a lightning bolt. How did she do that? That's what I want to know.
So two things. First, I think I hope this is a composite. It's because otherwise that doesn't look
the guy
very
had
safe.
To stand there on the car and hope that lightning would strike.
Well, I think if it wasn't a composite, it was definitely a lightning storm. It's a forced perspective shot. Of course, the lightning bolt is not coming from his finger. It comes from the sky behind the finger. But the way the camera is lined up with the finger and the lightning bolt, it looks like it's coming from. It's one of these, like if someone trying to hold the leaning tower of Pisa up.
Tell us about the forced perspective, because that's kind of cool.
Well, it's lining up. Now, in this case, you have a problem because you don't really know where exactly the lightning will strike. So that's why I think it might be a composite, or it was just a whole bunch of photos, in like hundreds of photos, until one really ended up looking like that. Or the other way you could do it is maybe have an entire array of cameras, because when you shift perspective left or right, then you will change that relation between the finger and that lightning bolt. So, but I guess it's probably one camera, lots of tries, or a composite.
Yeah, had to get the lightning first, and then you tell the guy to get up on the car and pretend, because otherwise he's a sitting duck for lightning. Which don't do that, kids. Don't stand in your car in a lightning storm.
Well, let's go to the second picture. Chris Boland.
Picture, yeah.
Chris Boland has a picture that I initially skipped because on the thumbnail it didn't look very exciting.
It's very
dark.
But
then I opened it.
Yeah.
It's a very dark picture. The title is Days Are Getting Shorter. So sticking with the theme of short, it's some interior of a house, and you just see the sunlight being very low and very warm skimming along some furniture and some walls and the floor, and you can see the window that the light's coming in through, and that's what the sun does. If the days get shorter, the sun gets lower, the low sun makes very warm light, and it just makes these beautiful long shadows. And it's one of those photos that doesn't have a lot of detail on it, but it kind of conveys a feeling by just showing you a little bit. And the feeling is the time of day and calm mood.
Talk about the magic hour. I mean, this is just, it's all orange.
It is, yes. Last but not least, Nicholas Banks, Little Dude, Tall Trees. And this is one of those photos that tells a story. And it's, okay, so it's a photo of a child in a forest. And it's shot in a perspective that is a bit unusual for kids' photography. Often we have photos taken by grown-ups that shoot kind of down on the kids, or you might get lower and try to be on the same eye level, which I prefer when taking pictures of children. This one is under the eye level of the kid. It's even lower. So
Dad got on the ground and shot up.
Dad got on the ground. The camera, the camera is probably almost on the ground. So you see the little dude, as he calls him, looking upwards into the trees. And there's so many things you can interpret into this photo, because it looks like, to me initially, it looked like there's a child lost in a forest. It's like a bit of a, almost like a Hansel and Gretel story, you know. The kid looks around. Now, in the comments, Nicholas writes that the son was amazed by the tall trees, and he's so young, he probably hasn't seen that a lot. So it's something new, it's something to explore, and it's, yeah, he has this, a bit of awe in his look. But it could be a lot of things. It could be a bit of fear, maybe, or a bit of, yeah, the feeling of being lost. So just by changing that perspective, it makes it very unusual. The kid looks rather tall, but still is kind of wedged towards the edge of the frame. So it the trees, the forest gets a lot more importance than usual. And the combination of that makes it a really nice photo. I like it.
There you go. There's your three. Good job, everybody.
Absolutely.
Now, Chris, there's one job for you to do.
Pick a new assignment, I guess.
New assignment, yeah.
Well, guess what? I have one, and the next assignment is try.
There is no try. There is only... Oh, I'm sorry. That was Yoda. That's a different thing.
Well, in that case, there is try, and I would love if a lot of people could try and participate this time.
Try. All you have to do is take a picture that illustrates the word or idea of try and upload it to Flickr, put it on the Tech Guy group, tag it with the word try. Renee Silverman, our moderator, will welcome you to the group and welcome your photo. And you can submit one a week for the next 4 weeks, and we'll have a review in about a month. Thank you, Chris. Chris is at Discover the Top Floor. Thanks, Chris.
Absolutely.
Well, and I streamed this. So people are going, it's sideways. Cause I was in port. I was in landscape mode. And everybody says, well, so I guess it comes out sideways on Facebook Live. They really want you to shoot it like this, which is nuts.
Well, which is how people hold their phones. I used to be completely opposed to vertical video, but hey, it's just a different way to look at it. It just looks different, and it's much more natural when you hold it in your hand. I don't really think it's a bad thing.
I love it. Well, Facebook's enforcing it now.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Leo, for making me sideways.
Yeah. Well, the problem is this clamp won't go if I have the phone in portrait mode, so I don't know what to do. I have to just handhold it.
You need a better clamp.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Take care.
Absolutely. Talk to you again next week.
See ya.
Take care.
Oh, so yeah, if you're watching the Facebook stream, I know this is bizarre. But really, the idea was to show how you could do a Dungeons & Dragons stream. Am I now right side up? I'm not – well, the image is mirrored. Well, that's just Facebook. I don't know. Or maybe because I'm using the selfie cam. Let me flip the camera. And now I'll use – now is it better there? I think the selfie cam might by default flip the image. I'll have to go back and watch the Facebook live video. The problem with not using the selfie cam is you can't see what you're shooting. It's a social media thing. You just wouldn't understand. That's what the chat room says. Why can't I want to shoot sideways? This clamp only has a sideways thing. Ugh. Oh, well. Thank you for those of you watching, and there are a whole 84 of you watching the Facebook stream. So you can tell it's backwards because, like, the clock's backwards. Yeah, it is backwards. I think that's the iPhone face, the selfie cam, because you would be disoriented if it didn't look like a mirror, right? Yeah, so when, okay, that's why it's mirrored. All right. So if I go to this cam, can go like this and you can see the studio. Yes, there's a lot of hats because People bring. I started collecting them, and now people bring. There's more than you realize. There's a whole bunch more over here. I started collecting them. Yeah, people. A lot of thumbs ups. People like it this way. More people viewing now. I guess people wanted to watch Chris's thing. So, oh, this is a way I can see what I'm doing. How do I get the, I'm seeing live viewers now. I don't want to see live viewers. How do I get rid of it? Swipe it. See, now I can see what I'm doing by seeing in my monitor what the picture looks like. But this isn't backwards anymore. Look at the clock and see. Let's see, where's the clock? Can't really see it. All right, this is too confusing even for me. So I'm going to stop the live Facebook stream. If you are watching and wondering what's going on, I'm doing the radio show from our Twitch studios right now, and you can get to the actual show and watch it from actual cameras at twit.tv/live. But we had a caller on the radio show asking how his daughter could stream her D&D games, and I came up with all sorts of complicated solutions and then realized, oh, what about a smartphone and Facebook Live? Thank you, everybody. Goodbye. That was kind of fun. I streamed live on Facebook for a minute just to demonstrate. You could go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/LeoGLaporte, and I guess the video will be up there. If not, it will be soon. And see and listen, hear kind of how the audio sounds. It's not a Dungeons & Dragons game, but it'll give you an idea. I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. Get a stand, a tripod of some kind for your smartphone. The only thing that bugs me is... as soon as I started streaming live on Facebook, and I was doing it, I thought, the correct way, right? You hold your camera sideways, so it's a wide screen. But that's not how the kids do it. Facebook even said, no, your camera's sideways, and it streams it sideways. You have to hold it upright. And that's how, that, you know, I was at a concert, the Bruno Mars concert a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking, because it's fascinating, you know, people watching it, things like that. Everybody has a smartphone. Everybody. I mean, it's felt like probably at least half of the audience, instead of watching the concert, was videoing the concert. And almost all of them were shooting their video upright, you know, with a phone upright. It's just, I guess, how we do it now. That's how everybody does it. The other good thing about bringing a smartphone to a concert, you can't bring people. You remember at the end of the concert when you want an encore, you light, maybe I'm old, maybe they don't do this. You light your lighter and you hold it up. That actually, now that I think about it, seems somewhat unsafe. Nobody does that anymore. They turn the flashlight on their smartphone. It's brighter, it's safer, and you hold it up and you really can see it. Hey, what's a lighter? Brian W. in our chat room says, I don't know. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Bernie is in Washington State. Hi, Bernie.
Hello, Leo. This is Bernie from Pasco, Washington.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Just for the record, there's a LaPorte Road in Pasco, Washington.
Well, we LaPorte's got around. There, I think almost every state in the Union has a LaPorte, a town named LaPorte, lots of LaPorte roads. I don't know what my ancestors are up to, but they seem to have gotten around.
So every time I pass by the drive,
you think of me?
Drive, I always think of you.
Thank you, Bernie.
Hey, Leo. So I'm calling about... My question is about the data service only and the phones.
Okay.
Forget about the cell service, because the companies own part of our wallet every month.
Right. You know, it's funny. Nowadays with smartphones, I think people don't – I don't use it hardly at all for phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I use the data. I use – it's a computer in my pocket. And when I do make phone calls – I usually use, you know, Skype or FaceTime, or I don't use the phone service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want the filling of the cake, you know, the top of the ice part. You know, we like the filling of the cake. Use the data, and I wish they can let us have that only.
I agree. No, who needs the icing? Actually, I like icing, but I know what you're saying. And in fact, that's really what's happening with most of the cell companies in the United States. They're doing voice over LTE, which is essentially a Skype call. It's a VoIP call over the data lines. They're not using the phone lines as much. And eventually, my suspicion is they'll phase those out entirely. The only reason they still have phone service, you know, real kind of cell phone service, they got rid of analog some years ago. And the only reason they still offer any kind of phone service is for older phones. But as everybody moves to smartphones and LTE phones and voice over LTE capable phones, the quality's better, I think it's less I would guess it's less expensive for the cell companies, so that's their incentive to move to that. So yeah. Right now, you could buy a lot of devices, tablets, even things like iPod touches that have data, and that you could run an app like Skype or Tango or Line. There are lots of video, you know, Facebook Messenger, lots of audio and video calling apps that you could use as long as you had data. So you could indeed avoid the phone subscription. You'd still have to get the data subscription, though.
Yeah, the only thing when you want to buy the newest phone, they get you with the plan.
They make you do a plan. And frankly, even if you have an iPod Touch, unless you're on Wi-Fi exclusively, as soon as you go out the door, you're going to need a plan for the cellular data, even if you don't use the phone. And I don't know, maybe the chat room will know or somebody can correct me. I don't know of any cell companies that sell just data plans, do they? That's in a way what that Verizon device that we were talking about a couple of minutes ago is. It's just a data device. But
the jetpack.
Yeah, the jetpack. You could carry that in your pocket, carry a tablet that has Wi-Fi. If you had a small tablet like an iPad mini or a 7-inch tablet, you could put Skype on that, pair it to the jetpack, and yeah, you wouldn't need a phone. You'd still need the jetpack subscription.
Right.
So you've invented something new. I hope you patent it.
Well, yeah. Skype is right there. It's free.
It's free.
For all the users. If everybody communicate between us, you know, between our relatives or friends or siblings or whatever.
I'm going to tell you a little secret.
Using Skype.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. We use Skype because the audio is better than a phone call. I use Skype all the time. You know, we just did the photo segment with Chris Marquardt. Here's a little secret. He's not sitting with me in the studio. He's in Germany, and he's not using some fancy equipment. He Skypes in, and the audio quality is perfect. So Skype really sounds much better than a phone call. And if you want,
I'm calling you from the Skype.
There you go.
Right now.
There you go. Yeah. And, you know, you can use video if you want, which is, you know, sometimes people want that. Sometimes they don't. But the fact that it's available is nice. So I'm with you. So you could use, for instance, a tablet with Wi-Fi or an iPod Touch with Wi-Fi, a jetpack or some sort of credit card size solution that gets internet data from the cell LTE towers. You pay for it. It's probably, I wonder, I would guess it's less, isn't it? It's less than a phone service.
About $60.
$60. Yeah. See, one of the things that's going to happen, as soon as people start doing this, the cell phone companies will say, all right, well, we're going to charge enough to make up for the loss of revenue. So it'll end up being the same. But a Wi-Fi hotspot, an old phone, you could even take an old phone, iPhone or Android, and remove the SIM and just use it as a Wi-Fi tablet. That's an interesting way to do it.
Answer everything.
Yeah, very smart. Yeah, we need it. You know what we got to do is we got to come up for a name for this kind of thing, right? There's because, you have cord cutting if you're cutting the cable company and getting the internet TV only. That's cord cutting. What are we going to call? We call phone cutting? That sounds bad. Okay, it's your assignment. Yeah, and there are, the chat was reminding me, there are other companies that offer, besides the jetpack, that's a Verizon thing, but there are other companies that offer these little, I call them MiFis, that's what they used to be called, little credit card sized Wi-Fi access points that get their data from the cell network. Freedom Pop is one. I use Karma, the Karma Go, that's another one. Some of them have flat rates. Some of them charge by the byte. Phone burning, delousing, bell ditching. I like it. Ironmonger in the chat room. We're going to call it bell ditching. Nobody will know what we're talking about, but I like it. Bell ditching. Thank you, Bernie. Moving on to Nathan. He's in Corona, California. Hi, Nathan. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Nick. Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm great. Ninth grader, that's what Kim tells me?
Yeah, correct.
Congratulations. How's high school?
Good.
You like it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. That can be challenging, but I'm guessing, because you listen to the show, I'm guessing you're the resident tech geek, right?
Yes, correct. I'm a very big technology person.
So all the people come to you and say, how do you do this, Nathan? Even the teachers, I bet, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have a question. So I have an inkjet printer made by Canon, and I've been buying a lot of ink lately, and it's not been, like, working properly.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of, like, blurry lines on the papers.
I'll tell you the problem with inkjet. If you don't use it every day, the nozzles get clogged. And then you can run a nozzle cleaning program. It'll be built into your printer, but that uses a lot of ink up. So yeah. Inkjet printers are not very economical, especially if you're using the cartridge inkjets. If you're are you printing, like, school papers and stuff like that?
Yeah, like assignments and all that.
I would look at an inexpensive laser printer. They're lower cost per page, and they don't have this problem of getting clogged up, right? You can use it. Because what you're doing is you're probably printing 20 pages maybe, but once every 2 weeks or something. You're not printing every day. So look at the inexpensive laser printer. Brother makes them for, like, $100. They're not expensive. You can go usually several thousand pages in between toner cartridge replacements. I think this is a very good choice for high school, for college, for students who don't need, you know, color graphics. They don't need photo printing. They just need to print papers, and they do it kind of irregularly. Brother, $100, great laser printer. Be my strong recommendation for you. Nice to talk to you, Nathan. Geek on. Our show today brought to you by my my blogging platform. It's not just me. 29% of the entire World Wide Web, 29% runs on WordPress. Shouldn't you be running on WordPress? I want to speak particularly to business owners right now. I think if you're in any business, you know that you need to have an internet presence. And many business owners, alas, think of that as, well, I have a Facebook page or I have a Twitter account. And it really needs to be, I'm sorry to say, you should have your Facebook page and your Twitter account. But remember, those guys own that content. You want your own page so that your Facebook page can refer you back to your website. Your Twitter account can link to your website. You want to drive your users there. And frankly, and I don't think I'm unusual, I am reluctant to do business with anybody if I can't go find out, especially tradespeople and, you know, service people, if I can't go to their website and find out about them. Your website says who you are. It has information about you. And even more, thanks to WordPress.com, your customers can share information using the social links that are just built into WordPress. WordPress is an amazing platform. You don't have to be a web expert. I know the reason you probably haven't done this yet, or you have an old funky site, is you don't want to be a web expert. You want to do your thing, but you need a website to tell the world about it. WordPress.com is perfect for that. It's what I use for LeoLaporte.com, my blog. And the reason is you just focus on the content. WordPress has the templates. They can guide you through the process from start to finish. There's a big community there. So there's a follow button so you can immediately generate traffic to your site. You get search engine optimization. It's built in. It's just automatic. That social sharing is great. So people, you write an article, you know, you're a plumber and you write an article and 10 things to do to keep your sink from getting clogged up. That would be a great article, by the way. I would read it. People will link to it. They'll put it on their Facebook and their Twitter, and that generates more business for you. Their business plan lets you access hundreds of plugins and themes. I've been using WordPress since the 2000s, but I moved to WordPress.com last year, and partly because I don't have to keep it up to date. They keep it up to date. They keep it secure, and it's less expensive than it used to be for me just to have a server and put WordPress on it. Their customer support team, WordPress experts through and through, and they're there 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and on weekends too. Plans start as low as $4 a month, although we've got an even better deal for you. 29% of all the web runs on WordPress. That should be enough to tell you this is a great platform. Even some of the biggest publications ever use WordPress because it's just easy to use. It's reliable. It's secure. It's fast. WordPress.com/tech guy. If you go there, you're going to get 15% off your new website. WordPress.com/TechGuy. They got all the plugins. I use the Amped plugin, so if you load my pages on mobile, it loads lickety much, much, much faster with the Amp plugin. I use the you get automatic secure HTTPS built in. Just check a box. That's really nice. I love it. WordPress.com/TechGuy. 15% off your brand new website. We thank WordPress. I knew the guys who started it and have been a friend and a fan of the company ever since. And we thank them for their support of the Tech Guy podcast, for making it possible. If it's time to get your website up and running, it's time to visit WordPress.com/TechGuy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Yes. Time to talk geek stuff. Computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We got your smartphones. We got your smart watches. 8888 Ask Leo. We got your augmented reality. We got your virtual reality. We got your internet connected toaster ovens. What? 8888 Ask Leo. Actually, I'm going to do a review tomorrow of something I got. It's an internet connected sous vide cooker. Sous vide was, I don't know if it's still all the rage. It started in restaurants. If you've ever wondered, you go to a restaurant. Let's say you go to a nice steak place. And you say, I'm going to have that T-bone and I'm going to have it medium rare. And then they come out 15 minutes later, it's all perfectly done. And you ever wonder how they do that? Well, many restaurants, and you can do it with a lot of things, including vegetables, will cook them in a very low temperature water bath. For instance, if you take a steak and you cook it at 135 degrees, that's all, like hot water, for an hour and a half, it will be cooked medium rare all the way through. Now, you need to finish it because it's kind of gray. It's like you're not boiling it because it's in a sealed bag. There's no water in the bag, but there's nothing crisping it up. So typically, the restaurant will put it under a broiler or put it on the grill and sear it. And then it's perfect. It's a perfectly cooked steak every time. Or it's great for seafood, for salmon. There's lots of things you can do with it. So all the rage. S-O-U-S, sous, which means under, vide, V-I-D-E, vacuum. Because you seal them in an airtight bag. So this device is called the Mello. M-E-L-L-O-W. And it's kind of a crazy device. It was one of those, I think it was a Kickstarter that I got this on. Like 2 years ago, I even kind of forgot about it because I didn't, I paid for it, but I just never got one. Finally came a couple of weeks ago, and I actually really like it. The website is cookmello.com. They're not a sponsor. I paid $200 for it. $3.99. What are you, nuts, Leo? Oh, geez. It looks kind of like, I don't know, some sort of weird appliance. But what's cool about it is it's a water bath. And what all sous vide cookers have, some sort of recirculating pump that keeps the temperature exactly 135 degrees or whatever. That's the trick on it, right? So it's a water bath. But what it does that's kind of different is it will cool as well as heat. And it solves a problem with sous vide because sous vide takes a long time. And you want it steak for dinner. You have to put it in an hour and a half before you're going to cook it. And most of us are still at work an hour and a half before dinner. So it's not very convenient. With this, you can put it in the morning and it will chill it. It cools the water. And then on the phone, it has an app that you say, and you tell it when you want to eat. You say, here's what I'm cooking. You don't even tell it the temperature. It figures that out. Here, I'm cooking a nice piece of salmon, and I'd like it medium, and I'd like it done at 6 p.m. tonight. And then it knows. It keeps it cool until it's time to cook it, and then it turns the heat on. It cooks it, and then you get a little notification on your phone that says your salmon's done. Come home. That's kind of, I don't know. Is this a good use of the internet? I don't know. I'm going to do a little video segment on it tomorrow. That's what made me think of it. It works. You know what it's great for? And this is, I just spent $400 to make soft-boiled eggs. It's great for soft-boiled eggs. You say, I'm going to get up at 6 in the morning and I want them ready. And they're done. I'm sorry I brought it up. Ron is on the line from Charlotte, North Carolina. Ron, now you know a little too much about me. What can I do for you?
Hey, Leo. Happy Thanksgiving in advance.
Thank you.
And one comment. I know why everybody likes to call you and ask your advice. You remind me of Bob Keesh and Captain Kangaroo.
So. Oh, I am a little. You know what? I grew up watching Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, I love him. I got to meet the man. He came through on a book signing tour, and I got to meet him. So it was thrill.
I think my voice is a little info because he had a very friendly, calming voice, didn't he? Hello, buddy rabbit. I think I am. It must have been in my head as a little kid. Thank you. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, reason for my call is I'm an avid photographer, and my homegrown PC just went blip yesterday. And I hit the power button, but nothing helps. You know, nothing's happening. I haven't opened it up yet, so I'm suspecting it's the power supply. But I built it. It's 7 years old.
Oh, you need a new computer, my friend.
Okay, I've maxed it out. It's running an i7, 32 gigabytes and things.
Oh, well, maybe you don't need a new, because, yeah, since you built it, you can keep it kind of up to date, upgrade the GPU, the graphics card, upgrade the hard drive. Have you put a solid-state drive in it yet?
Yeah, I've got solid-state in it and all that, and it's got the eSATA ports and all that.
Oh, well, you're up to date. Never mind. Forget what I said.
Yeah, I mean, other than the processor's, you know, 7 years old, but
yeah, that's the problem. Of course, you have to buy a whole new motherboard if you're going to replace the processor.
Right. So I was just, you know, I guess just a penny. I guess start with the power supply, you know, and see if that fixes it. Or
yeah. So tell me kind of how the failure happened. It just won't turn on anymore, or
yeah, it won't even power up.
The fans aren't moving.
No fans, no
okay.
nothing.
Then it's definitely the power supply. You know, I mean, the one thing just to make sure, because, you know, power supplies aren't super expensive, but why buy a new one if it just turns out the power cord is broken? So I would try.
I got to look under there. I was thinking about that today. I was sitting there going, maybe you knocked the power cord out
and
all
check,
that.
Check the power cord. Get a new one. Usually those are a standard part. They're cheap. Maybe plug it into a different socket just to make sure it's none of those easy to fix inexpensive things. But if it's still not, when you're not getting power, the motherboard's not getting power if the fans aren't coming on. That's the first thing that'll happen. And that usually means the power supply. And by the way, not at all an unusual thing for a power supply to go out.
I've got a panel. I can look at the side. I do see, you know, the motherboards have the little,
they have lights.
Yeah. I do see power to the motherboard, but it just, you know, so it's either the power switch on the case or whatever. So I was just calling.
Well, it could be that too. In fact, one easy way to replace here's what you want to do. You're going to keep most of it. You're going to get a new, what they call a bare bone system, a new case and motherboard, and probably new RAM as well. The case will come with a power supply built in. That will fix it if it's a power switch, if it's a power supply. And 7 years later, you're going to get a much faster processor, much faster RAM. You probably want to get new RAM too. But you can take the SSD. You can take a lot of the stuff. Remember, Windows is going to say, wait a minute, this is a new computer. You're going to have to call Microsoft and say, no, I just upgraded the motherboard.
That was my thought too. You know, Microsoft's going to scream, you know, going, "Oh, wait a minute!"
It won't activate because they'll say, "Well, this is a different computer." But you can, but in that case, you call Microsoft. You say, "No, I had to replace the motherboard," and they will say, "Oh, okay."
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try that.
The other option is, you know, if you really like the case, the motherboard is really what's holding you back in 2010. Because the system on a chip stuff, the socket, all of that means you can't upgrade any of that stuff. So that's what's holding you back the most. Although I have to point out, in the first, you know, 20 or 30 years of personal computing, it was a go, go, go. And every year, big improvements. It's slowed down a lot. A 7-year-old computer isn't as slow compared, you know, to a modern computer as it used to be. So maybe just get a new power supply. Go to PC Power and Cooling or Corsair. They make excellent power supplies. They're not expensive. Remember, you can't fix a power supply. Don't open that up. you shock yourself. But you can easily replace it. It's just a few screws. And, you know, those are often the first things to go. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You can buy, I wouldn't, unless you're a PC repair shop, you can buy power supply testers. But that seems kind of silly. If you have a voltmeter lying around, I guess you could do it as well. There's a power supply tester on Amazon for $15. I guess, I don't know, maybe this would be worth it. That would tell you if it's the power supply, if it's the power switch. It would give you some better ideas here of what's going on. And we should mention it could easily be the motherboard as well. Neo, who has a lot of experience, says PSU testers are useless. Okay. Neo, what would you suggest? Just get a voltmeter, ground the green wire, and use your meter. Okay. This is basically a specialized voltmeter, right? $5 on eBay. 7-year-old machine. It might be worth spending some money on a new MOBO and PSU and case and all that. You get Thunderbolt ports. You get USB 3.1. There's some advantages to the newer stuff. Unpower the disk drive. See if it comes on. Maybe it's the disk drive. I would not buy an iPad today. I'd wait. Probably in March or April, we'll hear new iPad announcements, I would guess. So an iPad you buy today is probably going to be last. It's going to quickly look like the last generation. So here we go. Here is it. We could put this in the show notes. Thank you, Neo. He said, I would. Wow. See, this is, boy, you got to be brave to do this. He's using a paperclip to short two jumpers on the PSU connector. And then use a multimeter. You know what? You could do that. I'm not sure I'd recommend that to the radio audience. I'm afraid I'd lose some listeners. That's a very advanced tip. Neo's an advanced user. Do it yourself kind of guy. I always enjoy your contributions, though. It's only 12 volts. You can't kill yourself, right? Well, how many amps is it? It's free. If you have a voltmeter, it's free. Let's not put that image on the website. I just see Nathan, our ninth grader, you know, electrocuting himself. Let's not electrocute Nathan. Oh, your iPad's dead. Well, and the iPad 2 is very out of date. Yeah, you can get the $329 iPad. Hello, my love. How are you? I love the smell of burnt PSUs in the morning. It smells like victory. Power supplies do frequently have problems. It's not at all an unusual problem. Today I'm drinking a coffee from our new home. Oh, somebody brought this. Kaloko Mele. Kaloko Mele. I feel like we're going to... Well, okay, but I should warn you that the new iPad Pros will be very, very expensive. The 10.5-inch iPad Pro is fantastic. Fantastic. It's so much faster. I really like it. So if you need an iPad today, get the 10.5-inch iPad Pro. It's very nice. Whoa, 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 whoa. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You send me email. 8888. Ask Leo. And Susan's on the line from O'Fallon, Illinois. Hello, Susan.
Well, hello, Leo. So good to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Long-time listener. I lost you for a while after you left CDTV.
Wow. You do go back. You go back 20 years.
Yes, sir. We met you in St. Louis one time. Oh. You and Patrick Norton came to I mean, I don't know. Like, it might have been Radio Shack.
It was a mall out there. I remember it very well. It was a lot of fun.
And he took you to
Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake.
It was my first and only Steak and Shake. And I had that was the best. I still crave it.
Oh my goodness! Wow, you had such a good memory.
Well, I'll never forget that visit because Patrick loves the area. He's from the area, and so he showed me around. But I also remember we had a lot of people came out, and I think we signed for many, many hours. So it was a lot of fun. Those were the days. Well, I'm glad to have met you then.
Yeah.
Nice to reconnect.
Yes, sir. All right. Now my question is.
Both Tech TV and Radio Shack are both gone, by the way.
And you're still around, isn't it?
But I survived! I'm like a cockroach. You can't kill me. So go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. So, goodness. I guess it was 2002. We bought a 55-inch Mitsubishi, the projection TV.
Oh, my goodness. I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, it took up half the living room.
It had the three lenses, the red, green, and blue lens. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if you moved the thing around, you had to have them
recalibrate it. I know, the diamond vision, and the bulb would burn out every few hundred hours. And but you had a big screen TV.
Yes, we did.
Did you have the one that the screen was curved to compensate for the keystoning in the projector?
No, it was flat.
The earliest ones had curved screens. They couldn't get it right. Oh man.
The most wonderful thing about it, though, was it had picture in picture, and we used it a lot during football season. You could watch games at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, 6 years ago. It finally died, and we bought a new 55-inch Philips, and we didn't even look to see if that feature was available. I just figured that it would be because the technology had been around for so long. But this TV doesn't have picture-in-picture. Now, we've had it 6 years. It started acting up, turning funny colors and flickering from black and white to color.
Oh,
and
dear.
It's getting ready. It's getting ready. So we're thinking about another TV. And my question is, do you know of any televisions that have that feature now? Or is
it's rarer and rarer. And the reason is, in order to do that, you have to have two tuners, right? Each picture has to have its own tuner. Although, nowadays, now that we get our content from more than just the antenna or the cable, maybe you could have one be the internet stream. And there are, I think LG continues to make picture-in-picture TVs, but I'm not sure which models. It's just it's a specialized thing, and it costs more. One way you could do it is have two HDMI ports. Each could have their own picture. Then you could use your cable box for one tuner and, a Roku box for the other tuner. But you want to watch two football games. One of the reasons people...
Simultaneously.
Yeah, one of the reasons people don't... You know what you need? You need DirecTV's Red Zone. They show... So many cable providers and satellite providers now will give you this, in effect, having multiple games going on in boxes. And you can zoom in to the ones you want to watch, and you can zoom back out. So who's your cable provider?
We have Spectrum, and we do have Red Zone, but I'm not aware of that feature.
Ask them if they have a multi-screen PIP solution, because I've seen this on a number of providers, and the idea of the Red Zone is when any given team gets in the Red Zone, within the 20-yard line of the opposing team, they'll show that. But I have seen them where you can have as many as 8 games on at the same time.
Whoa.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun? Whoa. And then use the remote to move to one game and click it to go full screen. And
We used the picture-in-picture all the time, not just for football, but just for when there was 2 shows. You could switch back and forth when commercials came on, because the audio would only play one of them. You couldn't have audio going on.
Right. Both of them. That would be confusing.
One, to change channels, and then when what we wanted
would come back on, then you could swap them and go back. But we were just so disappointed that it wasn't available on this TV. And
so here's a couple of ways you can do this. Amazon makes a device. It's their version of the Roku, a internet TV device called the Fire TV. And they now offer picture-in-picture on the Fire TV. I'm checking around to see. Spectrum, yeah, their Red Zone channel only gives you one game at a time, one of the chatters is telling us. So I'm just searching around. Yeah, you see fewer and fewer of these. It's just expensive. Now, what I would do is call Spectrum. Because this may be something that they could enable in the cable box. Somebody, user X in the chat room is telling, maybe it's user 10, I don't know, is telling us that some of the higher-end Spectrum cable boxes will offer picture-in-picture. And that's a better way to do it than having a TV with the tuners and the hardware. It's less expensive. You could just put it in the cable box. And all the cable box has to do is look at two different cable signals and mush them up on the screen. So check with your cable provider. And see if they can help you do this. The only problem with the Amazon device is it wouldn't be football games. You'd be able to have, you know, Netflix and Hulu in two different screens. That's not going to solve it for you. But call your cable provider. User 10 is a Spectrum subscriber. He says he uses his higher end Spectrum cable box. He uses the picture in picture every day. So there's your answer.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay. I will check with them on that.
Yeah. Better to do that with the cable box. Less expensive to do that with the cable box than getting a TV.
Well,
now,
if you're going to get
a new TV, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking for one. We're just, you know, listening to you on your program to see what you've...
I am a big fan, as you know, of the LG OLED. LG. Yeah, the B6 or B7, I guess. Yep.
The B7 is one you've been discussing.
And that Black Friday specials, that's a different thing entirely. The Black Friday specials I'm hearing are under $2,000 on a 65-inch, maybe it's a 55 LG B7. That's if you can get that TV, you will not be unhappy.
Yeah, I think I looked that up while you were talking about it.
Good. For football, for football, OLED's better. It's better at action. LCD TVs have a little bit of lag, and so they're not as good for the action shots in football or action movies as OLED, which has a faster response time, and the colors are much more rich. Highly recommended. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Actually, I think, though, that cable box might be the solution, and just get a nice LG. And, you know, there's plenty of good TVs out there now. You can hardly go wrong.
I would have never thought to call Spectrum.
Yeah, that makes sense. They can do it better than doing it in TV.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Nice to talk to you.
Have a good day.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Nice to meet you again. Meet up again. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Yeah, sometimes they call me the Sugar Ray of tech. Yep, it's true. David, Anaheim, California. Hi, David.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call, man.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for calling. What can I do for you today?
Well, I have, I've been an iPhone user for years and just recently switched over to a Note 8.
Oh, nice. Do you like it?
I love it.
How hard was that transition for you? Was it tough?
You know, it... not as tough as what I thought. It's more the little things.
Yeah.
And
because you're used to doing it one way, and then you know, you have to learn a new way of doing it. And
but it seems more intuitive than going through all the stuff with iTunes for syncing and the incompatibility issues with my my PC programs. And
yeah,
in fact, that's what I was calling about. It's how to sync up the contacts and calendar I have in Outlook on my Windows 10 PC. I was able to port them over to the Note using a Samsung migration utility.
Yeah, but you don't want to you want to sync. You don't want to just copy.
Exactly.
Yeah, you want to add some on your phone and it gets added to Outlook on your desktop and vice versa.
Right. So I'm looking for some guidance on, and actually when I did that, the data went into the Samsung contacts app. Not sure that's a big deal, but it wasn't what I was expecting. So I guess I'm asking for some guidance on one or two things, either how to import them and sync them from my Outlook to the Note, or if it just makes more sense to bite the bullet and port it into Google Contacts and Calendar.
That's personally, that's what I would do. So what you'll do is one last export from Outlook, import right. that into Google Contacts, delete the local stuff in Outlook, and tell Outlook, sync with Google from now on.
And that's kind of what I started doing, but two questions about that. One is, I haven't found a Google Contacts. On my Note, I've got the Google Contacts app and calendar. I haven't started working with a calendar, but the Google apps or Google Contacts app seems pretty straightforward.
You know what's actually pretty good? Microsoft Outlook on Android.
Oh.
Yes. There is an Outlook app for Android. Microsoft kind of did a 100% about face. Remember, they had a phone. The Windows Phone. For years, right. they had Windows Phone. And they put everything into it, and nobody bought it. And so they finally killed it last year, and it's over. And what Satya Nadella, the new CEO at Microsoft, said, look, we just have to be wherever our customers are. And since our customers are now using iPhones and Android devices, we need to be there. So actually, some of the best apps come from Microsoft, including Outlook. Microsoft went out and they bought Sunrise, which was an excellent calendaring app, and integrated it in. They bought Wunderlist, which was a German to-do list manager, integrated that in. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think Outlook for Android and iOS is superb.
Well, I've got that downloaded. So how do I know how to import on a PC, how to import, say, a PST or a CSV file into Outlook.
Right.
I didn't see a way to do that on Outlook and Note. Is there an...
Well, what I would do is finish that transition up to Google Contacts, and then Outlook on Android will automatically pull from that.
Oh, okay. So sync it to Google, and then on the Outlook client, trigger that to go to Google Contacts and sync that way.
Yeah. In general, that's... Okay. Now, admittedly, you're giving Google your address book. And some people don't like that idea. They're not selling that information. So you can read the privacy statement, make sure you're comfortable with it. But the convenience of having Google manage your contacts, your calendar, your to-do lists, it outweighs everything else because I can sync it with any phone, any computer, any tablet. The official version is stored at contacts.google.com. If I need to clean things up, they have tools for deduping and things like that. And it just seems to me the best way to do that.
Right. Well, that was the second piece of the question, because I keep hearing how Google is data mining everything in the world that you throw up there. But your comfort level is pretty strong that...
Read the privacy statement. What you're looking... So the data mining that Google does is... In my opinion, benign. I don't even think they look at your contacts. In fact, they've stopped looking at your email. What they used to do is not really look at it. In fact, I think that kind of comes from our mindset that we think of it as humans looking at our email or looking at our contacts. What is actually happening is when you're putting stuff on the Google servers, the stream of data is going through a interpreter that looks for keywords. It's not reading anything, but if it sees keywords, that might trigger, and it's for ads, if it sees a bunch, and it's looking for signals in the sense that, well, he's obviously likes to travel, so we're going to give you more travel ads, that kind of thing. I don't consider that an invasion. What you want to look for is a couple of things. One, and Google's very good about this, transparency. Google will tell you, and if you go to google.com/dashboard, you can see all your activity, what information Google collects. There are tools there to erase that information and to opt out of, you can't opt out of data collection, but opt out of ad customization. So I think they're very transparent. Their privacy statement is very clear about what they collect. And then the other thing you're looking for, and this is true of everybody, is do they give that information to third parties? And now those will the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is fairly strict about enforcing these privacy statements. If a company says we will not sell your data, or they don't explicitly say we will sell your data to third parties, that's what you're looking for. If it's internal to Google, it's being used to customize ads, or in many cases, what it's being used for is to train their machine learning. So, for instance, when you upload photos to Google, and I do that as well, they're not data mining your photos, but they are using your photos to train their computers to recognize dogs, cats, people, pets, that kind of thing. And I think that's a benefit. I don't think that's a negative. But of course, please read the privacy statements, look at what Google collects, and see if you're comfortable. When you're on an Android phone, you're kind of opting in, just as when you're on an iPhone, you're opting into Apple's data collection. People often think Apple doesn't collect data. Of course they do. And they're very good about not selling to third parties. So I trust Apple as well. But whenever you're using a smartphone, you're opting into that company's platform. Look what Samsung did with your contacts.
Yeah, exactly. So one other question about that. The other thing regarding security – oh, actually – if I go, because I've already started uploading the contacts I have into Google Contacts, and I have the Google Contacts app, if I delete that on my note, that's not going to delete the data that's stored up in the cloud, is it?
Well, you always have to be careful. So the first thing to do after you get everything up to Contacts and you look at it and you dedupe it and you clean it up and make sure everything looks good is back it up. Make a copy of it, and you can do that. There's a facility for downloading your data and keeping it as a CSV. Do that.
That's all that.
Then go ahead and delete it from the note. In theory, the note will then repropagate from Google. But synchronization is always risky, and what it sometimes does is it propagates the empty address book instead of the full address book, and that's why you backed it up. Because if that happens, okay, fine. Now all my address books are empty, but I'm going to restore from my backup, and that will propagate out.
Gotcha. And last question.
Well, hold on. I got to take a break. So your last question in moments, but my friends at the radio station want their time. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Sorry about that. I am back.
Hey, no question.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Hey, so on my iPhone, iPads, I'm used to getting security updates fairly regularly. On the Note, in fact, just in Android in general, what I'm hearing is they come out much more sporadic basis.
It depends on three factors. Google, of course, has to do the updates in the Android code base. They then send it to the manufacturer, in your case, Samsung, and your carrier. And Verizon, because Verizon has modified the phone as well. Both Samsung and Verizon then kind of crank it out. And at some point, you'll get the update. It comes through Verizon. So Verizon often slows these things down. Now, Apple, because of their strength in the marketplace, can enforce the updates. First of all, they make the phones. They don't have to worry about the manufacturer part. So they only have to get it through the carrier, and they just say, hey, if you want to sell iPhones, you're going to push our updates immediately. So there is a strong advantage on Apple's side there. One of the reasons I use and I tend to use Google phones is because at least we don't have to worry about the manufacturer. You have to, and then I'm on T-Mobile, and T-Mobile's pretty good about that. Although, my AT&T Note 8 is still back in August. Google puts out monthly updates, much like Microsoft, but not on the same.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that frequent.
So I have, for instance, on my Google phone, my Pixel phone, it's got the November 5th update. That's what you want. Unfortunately, my Note 8 on AT&T is back in August. And so you should look at your phone and see. If you know, it's about the phone, it'll say, you know, what version of Android. That's not, by the way, not as important. It's fine to be using Android 7. That's not the end of the world. What's important is the security updates. And you'll see an entry for security patch, and you want that to be as late as possible. Ideally, November. Okay, it won't be November, but so that's in settings about I think Samsung might have a special section for it, but it'll be okay. Where you'd find out what your IMEI is and what your phone number is and all that stuff. It will say, in your case, Android 7.0, I think, is what is on the Samsung phones. That's not as big a deal. That's really more about features. What you want is that up-to-date security patch. And if
is there a way to...
You can't force
I'm
it.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you can't force it. You get what you get. And it is the one negative. Samsung, at least, doesn't get in the way. They're pretty good about pushing it out. Verizon, though, is notorious for slowing down updates. Okay, Rosarius has a Verizon Note 8, and his is September, which is very good.
Okay, that's when I actually got my phone, so...
It should be September, yeah. You'd like it to be November. They usually come out in the first or second week of the month. You'd like it to be as late as possible.
Right, and I've just been pretty religious about always, keeping those updates.
Android is fine if you don't go crazy in the Play. You stick with the Play Store, for one thing. You don't install apps from anywhere but the Play Store. And then you don't download Russian wallpaper apps and things like that. Stick with Outlook. Stick with big-name companies, quality software. You know, you'll be fine. All the malware gets in through weird third-party apps.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I found a couple apps. I think To-Do was one. It's a task manager type app. But it was, golly, I can't remember if that was a Russian one or not. But there were a couple
be careful. I would stick with, there's very good To-Do apps from Microsoft. Well, Outlook has a very nice To-Do built in. There's good To-Do apps out there. I would stick with the big name companies if you really care about security. Samsung actually has a very secure phone. They've got the Knox security platform. They've got the secure folders. Those things are really good. In fact, I think in some respects, as good or better than Apple. So it's not an insecure phone, but you, as always, be careful what you install. I got to run. 8888 Ask Leo. A couple more calls before we wrap her up for the week. Let's go to Nora on the line from Michigan. Hi, Nora.
Hi, Leo. My husband's been listening to you and watching you on your podcast for probably 10 years or more.
Your husband is a smart, handsome, talented individual.
Yes. Well, exactly. He certainly is. And when we got our smart TV a few years back, I started watching with him. And so
thank you.
You're welcome. I would like your opinion because I respect it. There is a film scanner that I would like to get. But before I do, I want to find out what your take on it is.
So when you say film, you're talking about negatives or slides, not prints.
Actually, this one does 110, 35, 126, nice. 8mm and slides.
Who makes it?
Magnasonic.
Not a name I know, and it worries me a little bit because it sounds a little bit like they're trying to pretend they're Magnavox / I don't know. And they make so they make eyeglass cleaners, they make jewelry cleaners, they make projectors, they make mini fridges. Yeah, I'd be a little maybe. How much is the scanner?
$99.
Yeah, definitely you don't want it.
Okay.
So do you have an ongoing need for this, or do you just have a bunch of old slides and negatives you want to scan?
Most of my childhood pictures are in 110 and 35mm. Yeah.
So it's not something you're going to do. Once you do them, you're not going to have more.
No, not unless
you don't have an Instamatic lying around that you're going to take more pictures of with.
No, I don't.
So that's why I think it's generally better. It's not merely the cost of the device. And this, by the way, is way too low cost to be good. A good slide or a good negative scanner. Well, you know how paper scanners work. You have a piece of paper with something on it.
Right.
They have a camera. And they bounce light off the paper, and the camera takes a picture. It's basically a camera that takes a picture. Slide scanner is a different form factor. It comes down through the top because you have to light it up. And if it's a negative, then you have to have software that will reverse the negative. That's not too complicated. So they're built differently than a traditional paper scanner. Now, I have to say Epson, and I should mention they're a sponsor, makes some excellent multi-purpose scanners that do both negatives and paper scanning. So if you wanted to get a scanner, one of the Epson Perfection scanners, and they range widely.
Is this the one that you put like the little adapter
exactly.
on the thing? Yeah, those. My husband got one of those a few years back, and that just did not.
Well, the problem with it is it takes forever.
Yeah.
And that's the other cost of this. It isn't the $99. It's the fact that you got to sit there one by one, put the thing in.
Well, yeah, which, you know, it's there. You know, I treasure them enough. I mean, I've got tons.
No, you want them. And I had the same problem. Yeah. We had my for some reason, my parents only shot slide film. They never shot. So I had thousands of slides from my childhood.
Yep. And I have all of those from my aunt. That's all she shot, too.
So what I would suggest to service bureau, there are a number of companies like, say, scanmyphotos.com or scancafe.com, where they'll send you a box. You send it FedEx, so it's reliable. You send it back, and they do it for you. And they do it in mass. They have better scanners than you're going to buy because this is what they do. Mm-hmm. They some of them will clean the one we used, which was a local one in Rhode Island, cleaned the slide film, got the dust off of it, scanned it, sent us a CD with all the images on it. I then put it on the internet and sent it to everybody in the family, so we all had copies. There are lots of ways to do this. You can even go to your Costco or your big box store, and they'll do it as well. And they're going to do a better job than anything that you could buy.
True. It's just I used to work at a big box store, we'll just say, and we had a send-out service.
Right. They're going to send it out.
And a lot of times, more than what I care to even go there, they would lose them. And you're talking about, yes. And so that's what I'm afraid of. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to send it out and have them gone forever.
Well, and it's going to be, I think maybe that's why you do it yourself.
Yeah.
But you are in, are you in a big city in Michigan, a small town?
I'm in Battle Creek.
Okay.
It's big enough. Terribly large.
It's big enough. There will be a company in town that you can hand carry your stuff to. And that's why we did that in Rhode Island. My sister and my mom live in Providence. And so they went to I can't remember the name, but it was never anybody I heard of. It wasn't a big national company. They went to a local company and they did it. They tend to, it's fairly inexpensive. It's usually 50 cents a print, something like that. Or it could be less if you do a massive number. The big national companies like Scan Cafe can go as down as 10 to 20 cents per image. So it's not cheap. But you don't need to buy something that you're never going to use again, and you got to consider your time. It really is time consuming to do this. So unless it's a labor of love and you're going to look at each image and you don't mind taking weeks and weeks to do this.
Yeah, no, I don't actually.
No.
Which is why Craig doesn't understand why I would want something like this. He's the type, boom, scan it, done, it's over.
Right.
And so that's why I hadn't heard of this company either, except for the one that I found on Walmart.com.
Right. Well, take a look at Scan Cafe I've used, and I've had good results. And scanmyphotos.com is another one. They're actually listeners to the show, and I hear from them a lot. But for absolute safety and security, look in Battle Creek for a local company that'll do this. Go visit them. Make sure that they look like a reliable company, and you can actually do it in person, so it's not going to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we ended up doing for that exact reason. My mom did not want to put them in the mail at all.
Right.
It's not going to. The chances are low, but hey, this is, you don't want to risk this. So that's the best way to do this. There are lots of companies that will do this that you can see online. If you go to, scanmyphotos.com, you'll see they do negative scanning, photo scanning, slide scanning, as low as 27 cents per scan, as low as 8 cents a scan for photos. And they do all the work. And usually they have an automated process where they can clean it up and you're going to get a good result. So I think that's a good way to do it. And if you don't want to trust the mail, and I understand why you might not want to, It's not the companies you have to worry about. It's the delivery, you know, getting it to the companies. Then hand carry it to somebody in Battle Creek or, you know, something like that. It's well worth doing it. I'm so glad we did it. And of course, the nice thing about this is we'll never lose these now because I sent copies to everybody in the family. Everybody has it. You don't have to take a CD. Just put it online at somewhere like, you know, Shutterfly or and many places have free storage, and it's never going to get lost again, right? Because you share it with everybody. Good luck. It's a good project. It's well worth doing. Again, thanks to Michael Cozio, our musical director, to Kim Schaffer for answering the phones. Everything we talk about on the show ends up on the website. We missed yesterday's show, but we're putting it up right now, techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com, so you don't have to write anything down. There's audio and video from past shows there as well, all of them, for free, no sign up. I'm Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great Geek Week. We'll see you next time. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.